morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Woo! I received that. Well, first of all, we want to welcome some special guests back.
Yes, so please look back at the camera if you would right now. We want to welcome those viewing abroad. We have Latvia, we have Australia, and we also have the Netherlands. So, welcome.
Woo!
Okay, so your seat for the day. Who has an open seat next to you? Okay, just a handful. So we need to fill those in, but the seat you're in right now, that will be your seat for the day. We need to fill all the other seats in because we got some cool exercises today. Just remember, there is no audio or video recording permitted during the event. However, it is professionally recorded. You will get a recording of that. Those are for those who have insider or pro memberships. They will have... Oh, good job. Mine's turned around. I can't see mine. You're going to have this little blue sticker that's going to say MP3 qualified. So you will get a professional recording of that. And so, well, we are James and Taryn Liker. We are from Hayes, Kansas. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to my gorgeous wife.
Thank you. I love you. I don't know about any of you, but have any of you been stuck in a rut where life just sucks? Yeah? We were totally there, and we were at a point 5 years ago where we were living paycheck to paycheck. And as Danny says, your life can change overnight and very quickly. And pretty soon we found ourselves in a six-figure income, and we thought life was going to be awesome. It sucked. It was empty, and we didn't realize it because we hadn't grown yet. Our income had, but we hadn't. And so we found DannyJohnson.com in February of 2016, and that's when everything really started to change. Because we were in debt. We had taken trainings before, but we never changed our patterns or our habits. And so even though we were making a six-figure income, we found ourselves with $25,000 of consumer debt. And it didn't feel very good, and we didn't know what to do about that. And so the unfortunate thing is in that six-figure income, that only boosted my ego, and I emasculated my husband by retiring him. And that was very hard because everything was out of order in our home, and I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know how to be a mom, so I avoided my kids. I figured he would make a better dad than I ever could being a mom, and so if I just went and made money, that was best for everyone. There were days I wondered if there was any value that I brought to my family, but I knew in sitting in those seats that that was not true. That was an absolute lie. And this weekend was what absolutely equipped us to be able to make all the changes that we needed to, because we sat in those seats and we were humbled. And we just surrendered to follow directions. And that is exactly what we did. And in the last 18 months, we have paid off over $94,500 in debt. It feels so good. And we found over $4,000 in our fat, which really makes you feel like an idiot. And it was me, not him. It really was. We've increased our assets by $550,000 in that 18 months, and we did not make that much in a year. So it truly can be multiplied. As far as our family goes, I went from working 80 to 100 hours a week down to 20, and I have not gone over that. And what is so amazing is there's so much fear in that your income will go down, and it's not true. Our income went up. This has been the best year. We have had more partners this year join us than ever before. And that's because there's no pressure. We don't lead with what we want. We lead with what they need. And that's so important because it gives you freedom. We've been able to diversify. And instead of having one income, we have five. Five different streams. And there's so much freedom in that. That's allowed us to actually give more as well. And this training has not only helped us, but our children started a business and raised $28,000 in 7 months that they donated to the poor. I was such a nasty person before this, I wasn't even going to be invited to my sister's wedding, and I deserved that. And this has helped to absolutely restore all of those relationships. I now honor my father and mother, and I didn't before, and I honor my husband as well. And so I don't know if any of this speaks to you, but this truly can change. My favorite product is the MP3 because I need every bit of this information, and it's something I go back to, and I let it absolutely program my mind for what the future I want and for what our family needs. And so with that, I'll let James share his favorite project as well.
I got a mic. We're working every day on stuff here. So, but no, my favorite by far is Jim's, because I don't know about you, but I was kind of considered one of those people that would just stare you down and never really looked happy and used one word. And those were my answers, like yes, no. And so in that process of working with Jim's, which you'll see later today, we actually started another business, which I run that business. And my closing ratios when I'm working with clients is over 90%. Just because we... So, yeah, really, really good.
So with that, please help me welcome back America's favorite millionaire, our favorite millionaire, our coach and mentor, Danny Johnson. I think that's yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning. How is you? How is you? Oh, hi. Okay. Who worked out this morning? Where are you? Stand up if you worked out this morning. Give these people a hand. That's called no excuses. That's called no excuses. Taking better care of your health. Whether you got convicted yesterday about that, about not having a vision for your health, or at some point you've been at First Steps many times and you got convicted about not taking better care of yourself, those people are leading the way. By the way, my hand was up. Did I want to? Heck no. Heck to the no-no. But, you know, I often wake up with a foggy headache on the second and third day that hurts, like, really, really bad. And the workout took it away. So I'm like, yeah, that's a good cure for a monster. Doesn't it make sense? Like, you get your heart pumping. That's pumping blood. Blood goes to your brain. That's what kills a headache versus taking an Advil or a Tylenol, which I don't take anyway. I won't. I don't put that kind of stuff in my body, so... Yeah, but I've tried all kinds of other crap that's healthy to try to make that thing go away. And this morning it was jumping around in my hotel room like an idiot. So that worked really well. Okay, who was with us last night? Awesome. That was an amazing, powerful night. I'm personally excited to see what stories come out of everything that happened last night and you embracing what you have ahead of you and staying focused on what is ahead versus what is behind. We're going to move into deeper communication skills, which Mr. Liker kind of touched on a little bit about what helped his closing ratios go from what they were to 90%. Those are high closing ratios, no question. So I'm going to show you how to increase your closing ratios, increase your income, be able to help people better, motivate yourself better, and have a whole lot more fun, as well as become much more efficient and effective with your professional and your personal life. So you need to grab a piece of paper and a pen, brand new clean slate, and you want to draw a line from the top to the bottom and the middle, side to side, straight in the middle. So you're going to create four boxes here. How many of you have ever had a personality test? Awesome. If you've ever done a personality test, I did two, and it was insanely frustrating and confusing, really confusing. They basically gave me four words that I had to pick. Those four words were above my educational level. And I didn't have a thesaurus with me, didn't even know I was going to be taking a personality test. So literally, it was like guessing all the way through the entire thing. And I know I did the thing wrong, no question. But what I did find out is that there were four different types of personalities. And that coupled with
work harder on you than you do your product or your service, and work harder on you than you do your people, as well as study people and you'll be unusually successful. These things, these concepts really got rooted inside of my heart, and I hated people. Do you understand? I hated people. So for me now to switch the I hate and don't trust people to I'm going to study people, I think that was part of the process of my healing against people, to be honest with you. The more I studied people without any preconceived ideas and without any judgment, the more that I got to understand that, man, there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of differences, and got to see strengths in people that I did not have, but yet needed to collaborate with so that we could help the team grow better, help the company grow better, and help our clients better. Do you understand? So I realized that there was a lot of things that I wasn't good at, but there are things that other people were much better at than me. And rather than beating myself up, there was a revelation that it just means collaborate. That's all it means. It's work together with these individuals that have strengths in areas where I have monster weaknesses, and my strengths help to overcome their weaknesses. Now, when I first started studying people, I just saw myself as the one with all the weaknesses. I didn't see myself with somebody that had any strengths and any good to offer anybody. So this is going to be a personality training for you, but it's going to be a bit different than maybe some of the other ones that you've had. This is a very hands-on, very visual, very feeling, emotional type of a personality training. You're going to learn how to recognize what somebody's personality is even by just looking at them. And if you can't figure it out immediately by looking at, because some are very obvious. And there are some that dress in code. There are some that purposely dress in code, and I happen to be one of them. I do, because the more that I've learned about even my opposite gem, the more I've learned to embrace who they are, and I have found myself having a bit more fun in my life because of their influence on my life. And the first place I got wild was wearing wild socks. That was like the first thing I tried. It's like, no one could see them, just me. And the first time I put the wild socks on, I was like, oh my gosh, oh my God. Ah, I hope no one sees these cows on my feet. And that's really what it was. They were cows on my socks. Like, I always wore just like, you know, solid colors. Do you understand what I'm saying? So anyway, so when you get to learn and embrace all these other different personalities, you get to understand people so much easier, and they don't drive you as crazy. And some, and you might get to a point where they don't drive you crazy at all. And then when you start to be driven crazy, you start to go, oh, wait a second, that's because they're not me. I've also found in learning and understanding people and learning about people is how self-centered I am. That is a big one, because we have a tendency of wanting everyone to be like ourselves, especially in our most personal relationships, where we try to get everyone to conform to our image. But I'm pretty sure that's not what the best success book says, that we're supposed to conform them to our image, but there's another image they're supposed to be conformed to. And I'm pretty sure that the image of that one they're saying we're supposed to be conformed to had all four gems in him. So, in fact, you do too. Everybody has all four gems in us. So don't worry about trying to argue with the content that I'm about to give you. This is going to be very simple, very clear. And if you find yourself in the wrong category, by the time we're done, more than likely you'll know exactly where you belong just by watching the other groups in the room. And if you're in the wrong group, you'll feel incredibly uncomfortable. You will. You will feel incredibly uncomfortable, and you'll find your home. You'll find it. So with these four different gems, why is it called gems? You know, there's all these other different personality tests out there, and I've only taken, well, actually recently I took a second one. And I've done a strengths test before, only to prove that what I thought I was exactly what it was. But I recently took another one, and I had the same frustration. It had to be somewhere of the same test that I took 28 years ago, where it was like, thank God I had a thesaurus, though. I'm looking up every single word, pondering on it. It took me forever to take the stupid test. Yeah. Got myself in research mode, making sure it was going to be accurate. Took me an hour and a half to take the stupid test. An hour and a half. Thanks so much, David. An hour and a half. It's like, it should take about 20 to 30 minutes to do this. Hour and a half later, I'm like, wow, really? I'm not done? This is awesome. Anyway, and it was frustrating. It was super frustrating. So I hope GEMS is not going to be frustrating for you. I hope it's going to be enjoyable for you. So why GEMS? Well, I've heard of some other tests out there where, you know, you could be an otter or a lion. Oh, yeah, that makes you feel great about yourself. Oh, I'm an otter. You know? Oh, versus that guy over there who's a lion. Like, oh, that's fair. That's that beaver, otter, lion. Oh, that's totally fair. Right? That sucks. Who the heck ever came up with that dumb idea? I'm just totally kidding. I'm really not. Anyway, there was certainly someone that didn't understand people that you're totally, well, I just put down on him, but anyway, or her, whoever it was. I think it was an old client of mine, actually, but anyway, I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, no joke. And then there's, you know, the colors, you know, I'm a blue, I'm a green, I'm a, well, that connects. That's a lot of value. Are you a red? Or let's get this one. I'm a, what is it called? Huh? I don't know what that one is. Anyway, what about the A? I'm a type A personality. What? Am I a type D? Oh, that makes me feel good. You're a type A. I'm a D. Awesome. People actually thought about the names they were creating. They would think this through a little better. If they really understood personalities, they wouldn't come up with terms that makes everyone feel bad. And that only the, you know, high achievers get the best names. And the lesser, oh, what about this one? Love this one. Choleric and melancholy. Yeah, sign me up. I'm melancholy. Ew. What the heck does this stupid word mean anyway? It sounds like phlegm. Oh, wait, no, that's a phlegmatic. Anyway. I said I was going to have more fun, right? Welcome to my kind of fun. It's pretty sad, isn't it? I'm working on it. I got work to do. No question. All right. So we picked GEMS because, and this was something that really jumped into my heart, is because every single personality has great high value. And when each person is brought into this world, it comes with a set of great value. However, when it first comes, it is unrefined. And it's through a refining process that that gem then comes to life and has even greater and greater, higher and higher value into the marketplace and into relationships. Each one of these gems have high value. I'm wearing one of them right now, right here. See this, baby? This ain't no beads, baby. These are Tahitian black pearls. Robert Juan, Tahitian black pearls. My husband is amazing. And he actually loves pearls and not diamonds, right? So every time we've gone to Bora Bora, Danny gets decorated. Every time. I wear them every day, actually 24/7. Not telling you how, but anyway. I might get stoned if you knew where I had pearls. But anyway, so these are, this necklace is actually about the same value as my wedding ring. So when I say high value, yeah, even diamonds, which are supposed to be the highest value, this right here, well, is worth more than a lot of cars in the room. Okay? I've got about 600 pearls. Decorated. He likes them, and I love to wear them for him. It's very beautiful. Anyway, these are not beads. I've had so many people go, oh, those beads are nice. I'm like, wow. Thanks. What I was wearing last night is the very first piece Hans ever bought me. It's like $5,500. It's little, tiny. Hey, when you become financially independent, we're going to show you how this afternoon, and you got part of your budget set aside to blow and have fun with whatever you want. My husband happens to like pearls decorated on his wife, with clothes on or without. Either way, he likes pearls. So, three people caught that. Anyway, so the first gem. So mind you that even when a gem is found in the raw, when, for example, even this comes inside of an animal, right? A dirty animal that has like a piece of snot inside of it. It's an oyster, okay? Those things are ugly, aren't they? This ugly thing. And you know how a pearl is created? A piece of sand gets inside of the animal and he's trying to get it out. That's the whole point. He's working on it to get it out. So he's refining. He's like, get out of me. Go away. Get out of here. Go whatever. And then pretty soon between his saliva and everything else that gets done inside this thing, pretty soon that piece of sand, it turns into a pearl. And these only turn this color down in the Tahitian waters. The other places are dyed and, you know, faked and whatever. But to get round ones is insanely hard to get. I mean, you have to go through thousands of animals to get a round, one single round pearl. Do you understand? So again, it's all refinement, all right? So our sapphires, when a sapphire, let's see where a sapphire is our first gem. It's found in an ugly piece of rock. It is. It's found in an ugly piece of rock. All the other gems, including this, is found in an ugly piece of sand. Do you understand? Inside of an ugly animal. So it takes some chiseling and cutting away when that sapphire is found. There's all kinds of other crap around it. Let me see. Have any of you ever had some crap around you? Right? So when it's first found, it's found with all kinds of crap around it, and it takes a skilled hand and a professional, first of all, to even see the gem. Second of all, then to come in and strategically cut away all the crap that's around it. And then the gem, in order for it to reach its highest value, has to go through a heat process for it to be set inside of gold or white gold or platinum or silver. And then has to be heated up a couple of times in order for that thing to be set. So do you understand? There's a lot of refining and heat before that particular gem that was born to be valuable becomes of its highest value, right? So the first gem is called a sapphire. This person is motivated by fun. They can't help themselves. You don't have to tell them to have fun. They don't schedule fun. It just naturally happens the minute they wake up in the morning. They're having fun. A second gem is a pearl. And a pearl is motivated by service. They're motivated by serving other people. They are the hands and feet of an organization. We'll go into more detail later. The next gem opposite of a sapphire is an emerald, and that is someone who is motivated by facts, very detail-oriented. Everything's black or white. There is no gray area. Next is our ruby, and a ruby is motivated by a challenge. At their very core, if they are not challenged, they're dead. So they have to be doing something that is challenging and moving themselves higher and higher, higher and greater and greater. Okay, so whatever one of these gems you feel is your primary gem, you have a primary and you have a secondary. You have all four in you, okay? Everyone has all four. Some people are put together pretty sort of evenly. But there's always a driver. There's always the main motivator that's inside of us, the place that we live majority of the time. That's the one that you want to put an X in the box. It's the one that you live in majority of the time. Your secondary is usually going to be very close to your primary gem. So we just want to know what your primary gem is, the one that you feel like you operate in, think in, act in majority of the time. Put an X in that box, okay? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to move this room into a little bit of a different shape, and it's going to take some teamwork for us in order to do that. So each gem is going to be together. Up here is the stage, and this is where the sapphires are going to be, okay, right up here. Over here is this left right, your right, my left wing. Raise your hands. That's going to be our pearl section. Over here on this far wing, raise your hands over there. Okay, that's going to be our ruby section. And over here in the back, perfectly organized, is going to be our emeralds. Okay, so here's how this is going to work. First of all, it's really going to take a lot of collaboration with each other, and we have a lot of graduates in the room who are going to be able to help us move this along. Can I first see where all the sapphires are? Okay. Let me see your hands again. Sapphires. Yes, Barry, absolutely. 100%. Not sure if there's anything else in there. Okay. All right. So that's quite a few of you, which is awesome, which means we did a pretty good job communicating Sapphire to you about first steps to success. The times that we've done a crappy job, we barely had any Sapphires in the room. 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to say these four rows. Nobody else move, okay? So everyone, what I want you to do is I want you to look around your seat. Look around your seat. And I want you to grab all your junk. Some of you thought you were camping this weekend at First Step Success. So I want you to get your junk, and I want you to put it on your person, all right? Put it all on your person, because we are not responsible for your lost pen. We're not responsible for your cell phone. We're not responsible for any of your junk. You are 100% solely responsible for your junk, including your empty water bottles, your empty Starbucks cups. All of that stuff is your trash. You need to carry your stuff, okay? So grab your junk, and then those of you, listen carefully, that are in these first four rows, you're going to help the team work together by grabbing your seat and getting it up on the stage, even though you're not a Sapphire, okay? So and if you are, that's great, but we're going to stack these four sets of four rows on the stage and create rows. Everyone else, just sit tight. No one else move anywhere. Even if you're a Sapphire, stay in your seat. The only people that are moving are these first four rows, and they're just moving chairs. Okay. So now if I can get the this section, this very first section over here, rubies over here, the ruby section. Okay, not the very back, because you can see there's a big walkway behind there, but I just want this first section. What you're going to do is you're going to turn your chairs. And by the way, see that very back row right there? He's standing. Thank you. You're going to take that chair and you're going to push it back, and we're going to create rows all facing this way, okay? So just take those chairs and do that now. And it's so awesome, and I'm going to have you do that, because when the rubies do it, they try to make a first row every row. So I'm going to have you help the rubies actually create rows back there. And then, Pearls, you never have a problem. You never want to be in the front row. So I never have a problem with you. So what the you section right there, same with the, yeah. So the very back row, you're gonna make that first back row. So the very last seat there. So go ahead and start creating rows right there. And it's perfect actually where that's ending. I like where that's at. Thank you, gorgeous. Okay, and then we have this section, and we have this section. All right, cool. Now, the after these chairs are moved, the only people I want to move are the Sapphires to go onto the stage so I can get the exact amount, the proper count of chairs for the Sapphires before I move any other chairs. So, Sapphires, go to the seats on the stage, please.
Sapphires, this will be so much more fun if you don't talk. Pearls, would you mind keeping your voices down? I know, it would be such a blessing to me. Emeralds, this will be so much more efficient if there's no talking. And rubies, the pearls are quieter than you are.
The pearls are winning. That's so good.
And Loreen Allen. Once you get your chair in place, come on over to the sound table. Loreen Allen.
Okay, shh. If you are a Sapphire and there is a seat open next to you, please raise your hand. Other Sapphires that are standing, please go to the people that have their hands up. Even if you don't want to sit there, please go now to the people who have their hands up. All right, if you are a Sapphire and there's no seat for you, can you raise your hand? Okay, it looks to me like we just need this row right here. Can we get this row, move it in front of the last row or the front row? And let's see if there's enough at that point. Okay, Sapphires, does everyone have a seat? That makes me nervous, David. That makes me really nervous. I know, okay, good. Are there any other Sapphires standing? Okay, if you're not a Sapphire, get away from the Sapphires, please.
Move.
I just need to make sure we got enough chairs that way. Where are you going? Oh, cool. Yeah, there we go. No. You can maybe get the older ones. Okay, cool. Now, pearls, head to the pearl section. Rubies, head to the ruby section. But do not, listen to me carefully, don't grab any extra chairs until I see how many chairs are actually needed, okay? So if there's not a chair for you, and by the way, if there's an empty seat over by the ruby section, please raise your hand. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. There's lots of empty seats. That's awesome. No worries, I just stopped. I apologize. Rubies, I know you don't want to go to the back. I understand that greatly. It's very uncomfortable to go to the back. I get that. Move your butt to the back, woman. Come on. Please, this is gonna go by super fast. We're gonna get into making money fast. If you could just find a seat for your butt. Yeah, that's right. Put your butt in a seat. Yes, good job. So proud of you. Man, this is amazing. Wow. I would like to see how fast y'all could do it, actually. I'm just not quite sure if you can do it as fast as the pearls. I just don't know. I think the pearls are already, let's see, are the pearls already in, and is every seat filled over there by the pearls already? We're about to find out really quickly. Yeah, we're about to find that one out really quickly. Okay, emeralds, I want you to just hold it right here. We're going to need more chairs at some point. Okay. All right, so all you rubies that are standing... those of you who are sitting, is there a seat open next to you? Raise your hands. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's all I have to say. That's amazing. Okay, so the rest of you, I want you to, you guys, grab these chairs, and now let's create the new front rows. Mona, where are you? Can I get some water?
Sapphires, if you can hear clearly, say woot woot. That's all I needed to know.
And I think that should be enough. Look at some of these rubies. You see some of them are dragging their feet. They're like, I'm waiting till the first row is done. They're waiting until the first row is all done. then they're gonna go over there to the first row. Okay, yay! I really love this room, actually, because everyone's gonna be separated, and that's super important for the exercise. Look at how cute you guys creating another. What is that? Move your butt. You can do it. I believe in you. Come on, get over there. Get over there. Look at her. That is so funny. Okay, guys, it needs to come more this way. I don't want you touching anyone over there. It needs to come more over here. Thank you. All right. Are there any rubies that don't have a chair? Okay, in the ruby section, if there's an open seat in front of you, please raise your hand. All right, looks like we have too many chairs. There's open seats, guys. You don't need any more chairs over there. Yeah, there's all kinds of open seats. Find your open seat. Pearls, are you all pearls? You're all emeralds. Lord have mercy, what have we done? Okay, so all the pearls are sitting.
No, I'm not.
Okay, you're about to. Is there an open seat over here in the pearl section? Can you raise your hands, please? Okay, there's one over there. No, never mind. Okay, it looks like somebody moved all those seats, and I didn't want that to happen. All right, so that means everybody else is emerald, so this is how this is going to go. You see this section of chairs? They need to create rows starting from the last row back there that is sitting. So these all need to be organized and in order equally. You emeralds that see chairs that are open right here, just scoot over here. Leave that section alone, please. Come over here and fill in these seats. Yeah, there we go. See what's going on there? That's excellent. Thank you for following directions. You guys are absolutely precise with doing that. And honestly, I'm impressed with you, Rubies. You did a really good job. You did. You did a really, really good job. If you're an emerald, this is where you're sitting, is over here in this section. So don't move that chair. We have a ton of chairs over here. You can just leave that section right there. That's a lot of emeralds. A whole lot of them. Here, guys, come around this way. Wait, we might be filling. Okay, there we go. There we go. Perfect. Excellent. Whoop. Handsome. All right, emeralds, if there's a seat open next to you, can you please raise your hand as the rest of the emeralds are trying to find a seat? We don't need to move any more chairs. We don't need any more chairs. There's tons of open seats. Oh, meaning you want to sit next to him? That's your son. Is there two open seats next to each other? Right here. You and your son can sit over there. Come over here. We have this odd beginning of another row that we didn't need. There we go. Cool. Thank you. There's two seats over there. You're welcome. Okay. Yes, please. And does Mona have my binder? Okay, cool. Well, friends, anytime that a project needs to be started within a family or a business, there's four different types of personalities, generally, that are going to need to work together. Now, of course, if it's just nothing but an accounting firm, there might not be those four personalities. Or an engineering firm, there might not be all those. It's a bunch of engineers, there probably isn't all those four personalities. There might be a few that are misplaced, but generally speaking, certain personalities yield to a certain personality. I mean, as professions yield to a certain personality. But let's just say it's a family, and there could be all four different types of gems that are inside of that. So anytime there's a project that needs to get done, these are four different ways that people respond. So in this case, we have to start gems, this next part of gems. So the Rubies always want to be they always want to be first. Yep, that's where they want to be. And that's what they've been born to do, is to be first. However, that's about a seventh grade level of leadership. It's not the highest level of leadership, is always being first and making sure they're always crushing their competition, which is anyone breathing is their competition. There's this passage in this great book of wisdom that teaches a lot about leadership, and it says that he who must be first must first be last. So the Rubies are going to be last. Can you do this? It is? It's last. You're going to be fourth. I'm not going to be a loser. That's good. So they're going to be last. The emeralds don't care where we start as long as we start in a timely and efficient and effective fashion. The pearls don't care where we start as long as we don't start with them. They hate being first. So then that leaves us with these guys who also don't care whether they're first or last. They really don't care. Let's just do it. Let's just get started. So we're going to start first with our sapphires. And as you can tell, they're loud. Okay. When they were knitted together in their mother's wombs by the great designer of all designers who put them together perfectly the way that they are, he made them to laugh loud, to scream loud, to sing loud, Everything they do has a high volume, and this was all on purpose. These people, you can usually find them generally by their clothing and even by their styling of hair and accessories. They have a lot of accessories. Can I have all the rainbow-colored hair people stand up, please? So there we go. So this is where you'll see a lot of that, you know, those new colors are amazing, by the way. I'm glad somebody finally perfected that. Anyway, so there's a lot of that color. You know, it's like the bright blues, the bright purples, the bright pinks on males and females. They like to do something wild with their hair. But even those that haven't gone that far, there's still a lot of damaged hair in this department. There just is, because they like variety. They like to change their hairstyle and color, sometimes on a monthly basis. You never, those who are married to sapphires, especially the females, you don't know who you're getting in bed with every month, because it just changes, right? That style just changes. I mean, it could be a platinum blonde one month, and the next month it's going to be jet black. The month after that, it's a bright screeching red. And then, you know, another time it's orange, and then back to a golden blonde, whatever. They're just constantly changing. And by the way, sapphire doesn't have an age limit. There is no age limit to a sapphire, which to me, sapphires never age, because they're full of joy. They're just super motivated with joy. And I got to show you this. Ma'am, would you stand up, please? Yes, because you're the one with the wildest hair in out of the whole group. I mean, really? Look at all that, the sapphire. Would you mind if I asked you your age? You could tell me no. She's 82 years old. Wow. You look amazing. Wow. I have chills all over my whole body. You are 82. So, wow. That is so inspiring. Thank you so much for being here. Wow. You look incredible. Like, your whole body looks amazing. You're doing more than trying. You're doing. That's incredible. Your skin looks amazing. Wow. Wow. That is really inspiring. So check that out. I mean, wouldn't you want her to be your grandma? Yeah. Right? I mean, could you imagine your grandma showing up to your basketball games? Right? Or your school assemblies, and there she is with that hair? Like, that's the best grandma in the room, if you ask me. Right? Versus some of us who are serious all the time. Anyway. So the sapphires have, there's no age limit. And I love that, because they are the ones that stay young the longest out of everybody else. They stay youthful because they're joyful. Sapphires are motivated by being around people. They really enjoy professions that have to deal with people. Talking on the phone is not something that they're afraid to do. Talking in front of people, whether it's a small group or a large group, is just what they enjoy doing. They don't like actually being alone, and they don't like things being quiet. They have to have constant movement all the time and noise. Take a big, deep breath, my fellow emeralds. It's okay. This is a cleansing breath. Ready? Let it go. One more time. I can see the pressure and the stress on you right now. Come on. Big, deep breath. Ooh, just release that thing. I saw all the tension and all the what just happened all over your faces. What's so interesting and profound about this is that did not say to Chad, can you please turn some music on and have our sapphire solid gold dancers perform for us and show us how much they enjoy dancing. That is not what was said. But the music got turned on, and because the great designer wired these people this way, they could not help themselves. They couldn't help themselves. Why? Because this is the way they were made. And this is what they were made for, on purpose, not by accident. And unfortunately, the school system and many people on the planet have tried to take that out of them. Our school system has drugged these kids with Ritalin. They have drugged these kids with other psychoactive drugs to calm them down, have put them on drugs that then eventually they will need antidepressants. And all of these drugs that they've put these kids on have suicidal side effects. And why? Because the poor teachers who got into teaching because they love children and they want to help form and groom the next generation for success, they've not been equipped or trained on how to identify the four different gems that are in their classroom and how to motivate those kids and how to get these kids to motivate the rest of the classroom. So what they've done is instead, because they can't control them, because these are the kids that are tapping on the table, doodling on their math work, will not do problem number one first. They're going to start with problem number 14, then down to number 17, then up to number 2, then over to number 30, and then up to number 1, and then down to number 26, and then over to number 5, and over to number 7. So because the teachers have not understood the value or the strengths and the differences inside of this gem, starting in the 70s, they began to do test pilots of that drug Ritalin. And now we have a full generation that has been, a generation of sapphires have been drugged, and parents who've stayed ignorant, where they could have helped their kids not be as nervous, as agitated in the classroom by simple nutrition. In the same place where I've gone into schools where they have the lunchroom mom who's selling candy at lunch. The worst people to give sugar to at lunch is this people right here. The worst people to give any artificial dyes to for lunch is right here. And yet what is in the school cafeterias? What's in the schools? Sodas, candies, pies, and artificial crap that completely just amps these kids up, and somehow they are supposed to be calm right after lunch and pay attention in their math class, because math makes a lot of sense after lunch. Freaking idiots to me, man. It makes me so mad. So because they can't control them, because they don't know how to motivate them, they want to dumb them out and turn them into an emerald or a pearl, which I think every single one of those people who came up with that idea should be lined up and beaten. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. This is the personality that inventors come out of. This is the personality that wild ideas come out of. Inventions, breakthrough in technology. Why? They think outside of the box. That's how they naturally think. They see things differently than everybody else in the room. They have this tendency of challenging, not from the state of just challenging, just asking why does it have to be that way and finding a different way to do it. They have a great ability of solving problems. They are verbal processors. They talk their way through every single problem that they have. And they don't need you to solve their problem for them. In fact, it drives them crazy when you try to tell them what to do or try to solve their problem for them. They just need to process. They just need to talk their way around what the issue is that they're going through. Like, for example, coming up right here in this city in November, we'll be creating a dynasty. Right in this room, we'll be creating a dynasty. And creating a dynasty is 3 days. Now imagine, you're going to be in a room with nothing but First Steps to Success graduates. So all the jerks won't be here, just the grads, right? No, it takes time for people to not be a jerk anymore and to transform into being more loving, more kind, more accepting. You know what I'm saying? So the ones that are not, that they don't share the values of what we share here at First Steps to Success, they're not going to be here. So ones that are here are hungry, they're motivated, they want to have a good time, they want to grow their families, they want to go after vision. They are the ones that are committed and excited about their future. And could you imagine a whole room filled with nothing but them? Yeah. It's really powerful. It's super powerful. So that's what's taking place in November. So it's a grand slam party weekend, no question. And now you get to have deeper relationships with everybody. And you're actually in group exercises to where you're talking the whole time. You're talking. I do barely do any talking at all. I give it an assignment, and you guys, and it's all talking. So it's learning about each other's personalities. It's practicing those things called form. It's going deeper with understanding how to promote things. So it's everything that your personality is all about, and it's an absolute blast to spend 3 solid days with people designing your life, designing a vision, going after it, and being around people that are like-minded versus those other people that want to pull you down, drag you back, tell you you can't do it. Imagine 3 solid days of being encouraged and fresh, refreshed, and meeting people that you actually want to spend your life with. That's what's taking place in 3 days. So I know it comes to your head. You're like, how many of you want to go? Yes. I want to go, man. That sounds like a blast. You're right. And you got to bring a camera. It is such a Kodak moment weekend. It really is. And then being, it's like a family reunion or a high school reunion. It really is, because we're going to come back and see each other, and we're going to go home. We're going to implement some of this stuff. We're going to flop a little bit. We're going to do well in some areas. And then we all come back and like, guess what happened? Right? So you're going to hear all these crazy stories. It's so good to see you. You know, we see people running at each other, big hugs, jumping up in the air, high fives. Do you understand? It's crazy. And I know you Sapphires pack like 17 people in your hotel rooms. Okay. So I know that right now you're like, okay, November what, right? It's November 10th, 11th, and 12th right here in this room in San Antonio. You found this hotel once, you can find it again, right? You know how to come back here, right? Okay, so not only will you know how to come back, but I know that you're thinking right now, okay, well, never more. Okay, I got time to figure that out. But right now it's like, okay, I got a problem to solve. I got to figure out how am I going to get here. Got to find the money. You got to find childcare, right? Gotta find time off work. I gotta go home and schmooze my boss so he releases me and he let me come, right? So you got a list of things and you're like, okay, so I gotta find childcare. Oh, forget, I'll find somebody. I mean, I'll do a bunch of favors. I got plenty of time to do a bunch of favors somebody else, and then I'm gonna go ahead and get the favor back. Okay, so my boss, flowers, they like pink. All right, so I'm gonna get some pink roses. I'm gonna write some letters. I'm gonna be super encouraging. Oh, I'm gonna show up on time. That'll work. I'll show up on time to work. I'm going to shock my boss leaving this place. And then he's going to be compelled to give me a raise and let me come to Dynasty. Wait, I think I'm going to go back and I'm going to show how much this training has affected me by being so much better of an employee that he pays for me to come. There's many people who have done that. There are people in this room right now who have went home, they implemented job domination, they've implemented the things that we've talked about here, and they have their boss that's funding every single trip here to First Steps to Success and creating a dynasty, where they've not had to pay for it because they have exploded their production at work, and because of GEMS, they knew how to motivate everybody that was inside of the company. They became more valuable, and they're like, keep going to that training. This training is cheap compared to corporate training. Really super cheap. So they're saving money, and their businesses are growing because of the people in the room that are doing something about it. So anyway, okay. So your verbal processors, you like to talk that through. You'll identify what that problem is. But because you're natural born optimists, you don't get all down and sad and, oh, I can't. No, you're the I can people. Right. You're the I will people. Like, anything's possible. Right? It's going to work out. It'll work out. Shoot, don't stress. Don't worry. We got this. Don't worry. Be happy. Play the song, right? Play the song on your head. Like, that's just how you roll. You're just going to work it out. These people are also very spontaneous. How many of you at the very last minute decided to come to First Step Success? Yep. Very last minute, they decided to come. They heard about it. They heard that people are going to have a good time. Maybe they saw some video of testimonials, because testimonials motivate them greatly. Bam. They had to be here. Why? They hate missing out. They absolutely hate missing out. If there's going to be a gathering and people having a good time, they hate missing out. These people have also had really long-term friends for a really long time. Some of them have been friends with the same people from kindergarten till this day. And these guys, again, because people didn't know how to motivate them, they spent quite a bit of time in detention or at the principal's office. How many of you spent time with the principal? And okay, but how many of you made friends with the principal? And how many of you are still friends with the principal? Okay. So how crazy is that? So the principal, like, you know, probably started to laugh and expect it. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Here he comes. You know, it's just, you know, every Wednesday, here they come. And started joking around with the principal and making relationships. Why? Because relationships is your gift. Relationships and people are your gift. You have spiritual gifts also. I wrote about them in Spirit-Driven Success, and it's also in our audio training for Spirit-Driven Success. And in that, it talks about spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gift is motivation and encouragement. So it makes you a people magnet. People love being around motivators, and they love being around encouragement. They love that. And if you're not encouraging people, you're not living. If you're not motivating people, you're not living. And so you're the pot stirrers in the room. You're the one that get people to do things they normally would never do. And it's some of those people over there that you try to get them to do things that they would never, ever do. And why? Because it's fun. That's why. These people brought the most luggage to the event. And the reason is because they couldn't decide what they were going to wear, you know, on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, because they're feelers. So they dress according to how they feel that day. So they have lots of different options, and they love variety and they love options. If you go out to dinner with these people, they feel entitled to the food on your plate. Not only do they feel entitled to the food on your plate, they also wait and order last to see what everyone else is ordering. So they don't order the same thing because they want to try everything on the menu. So they wait. They're like, what are you going to get? 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 And then they go, okay, cool. I'm going to get this because no one else has ordered that, and I want to taste everything. I have a friend. I eventually bought him a freeloader fork. Have you ever seen one? It's the most awesome invention ever. I bought it in Santa Barbara when I was visiting my daughter one time. And so basically, you remember the car antennas? It's a car antenna with a fork at the end of it. Because every single time I eat with JP, he felt entitled. And so he started to learn, because I can't stand it with people digging on my plate, right? So he would take a bite off of his food, like take a bite on his fork, and he would very slowly and gently put it on my plate. Just put the food. He brought me an offering. Okay? He would bring me an offering, and there it is sitting on my plate. And then what am I obligated to do? I'm obligated to give him some of mine. How many of you pull this kind of crap? See that? See? I know them. I've seen them. I watched them. Okay. Yeah. They love new ideas, and they love to be in groups. They do not like to be alone. Being alone is not their favorite thing to do. They are also initiators. They're fire starters. And they love inspiration. And the way that they like to sell is their closing line is, trust me, it works. Yes. Trust me, it works. Now, that works if you're talking to a sapphire. And it might work on a pearl, maybe. But that close doesn't necessarily work with the other gems, which means that you could at least have a 25% closing ratio. If you're talking to all four gems, you know at least one of them is going to go with it. But testimonials move you. And testimonials move all humans, but they really, really move you. And you feed off of inspiration. And it's important for you to be chewing on inspiration. If you're not being inspired, you can't inspire anyone else. Okay, so weaknesses on these guys, as I just shared a whole bunch of their strengths, they like to get distracted because they like variety, right? They like variety, so distraction is something that happens for them. They let's just put it this way. In their hotel rooms right now, the maid walked in and took a big and they laugh about it. That's just so funny. If I was saying this about the rubies, they'd be like all ticked off at me and offended. Just don't talk about my weaknesses. I don't have any. These guys laugh at their weaknesses. They think their weaknesses are absolutely hilarious, which we can all learn from that. Every single one of us should be inspired and learn from the fact that they can actually laugh at their weaknesses and not like get themselves all depressed, because depression is not their thing. They like parties. They like fun. They like to keep things light and energetic and all of that stuff. So anyway, I'm going to move on. I know. It'd be so much fun to just hang with you right now, but I got to go. I got to go over here with our pearl section. And that one might be misplaced. Anyway, can we get our lighters, please? Come on. Listen to some Kenny G. Come on. Come on now, that easy listening music. Oh, we enjoy that saxophone. We enjoy the cello, acoustic guitars. Kumbaya out on the beach with a bonfire at night, stargazing, right? Love it. We're good, Chad. So our pearls, they are very similar to our sapphires. They have long-standing relationships, just like the sapphires do. They've been in touch with the same people since kindergarten, or like since they were 2 years old. That's something that pearls are as well. I would just like to say that pearls are more like sapphire light. They're not as loud with themselves. So they enjoy music just like the sapphires do, but it's the kind of music that kind of relaxes the soul, and music that just brings, if you will, ministers to the soul, feeds the soul, calms the soul down, takes the blood pressure down a few notches, something that is very relaxing for the entire body. So we like music that is often instrumental, and if there's words, they've got to be really positive, good, soothing words, kind of like what was going on Saturday night, some of what Issa was singing over everybody, some of those kinds of things that have really important depth and have a calming effect on us. They're very loyal. Their clothing generally is going to be what's comfortable. They generally don't want anything that is too tight, too fitted, belts that bind. They like breathable fabrics, loose-fitted clothing. They like this, you know, bamboo cotton because it's really good for the environment, because bamboo grows like 3 meters a year. So it grows super fast, and you can make towels out of it, sheets out of it, shirts out of it, and it's antimicrobial. It is antifungal. It's antibacterial. It's antiviral. They all knew what the words were. They were helping me. And there it is right here. And it is amazing. Okay, so this is linen. This is a linen made out of bamboo. It's organic. It's organic. GMO free. So there is no GMO in this shawl. Is that a shawl? Yeah. Wait, it's very insulating, which is very, because I can feel the heat in it already. Yeah. It's for your body. That's so awesome. And so when we approach those years, those later years in life where we have been blessed with a brand new hair color that comes natural, oftentimes we'll just kind of let that happen. And there she is. Look at that. That's my goal, by the way, right there. That head of hair is my goal. So it's coming in. It's coming in right here. Yeah, started about a year ago. Just, yeah, it's growing. So we'll see what happens. It'd be great if it just happened all at once. But anyway, so typically pearls are not going to want to color their hair because they want chemicals on their head because you have large pores on your head and it's so close to your brain, and those chemicals can cause cancer. And so we do everything we can to like fight against cancer, because it's cancer's not good, and it'll hurt me and it'll hurt the whole family, you know. So, and if we die early of cancer, we're not helping to change the world. So therefore we'll kind of stay away from these colors, you know, that we'll put on our head, because it's just not safe. It's not safe for the environment either, right? Because then those chemicals go down the drain and it pollutes the water supply. So it's really just not good for humanity in general for me to color my hair. So that's typically how pearls think with their hair color. I'm not saying all of them. It depends on which secondary they have. So pearls typically have a sapphire secondary or an emerald secondary. So depending on the secondary, kind of determines what they'll choose to do with their hair and their clothes and all of that stuff. They enjoy being around people, mostly to help people. That's really important for them. They are very passionate about helping people. They can be very driven about helping people, and they can be misunderstood often about their personality, that people can say, oh, you know, they're kind of slow or they're too quiet. No, they're very passionate people. When they've hooked onto a cause, they will nearly kill themselves for that cause. They will do anything to save lives. They will do anything to help an orphan. They'll do anything to help get a kid out of being trafficked. They'll do anything to help somebody who's being badly abused, whatever it is that their heart is for. And there are some that it's for the animals, or that's for the trees, for the environment. So this is where a lot of activists and environmentalists, and I don't know about you, but we see it all over the news, activists are very passionate people and can be very aggressive as well when they're activating people and going after what they think is wrong. Justice is really important to them. And people acting right and doing right is really important to them, especially when it comes to people. People is like the center of what is important to them. And the mistreatment of people is like, it just keeps us up at night. It frustrates us and hurts us to see other people hurting. We're very loyal. We're loyal to people. We're loyal to family. We're loyal. We love reconciliation. We love redemption. We love to see people restored to the rightful place of where they belong. They generally have a very even-keeled kind of personality, generally. And they're not demanding. They're not super demanding. They don't like change. They enjoy routines. They like things to stay the same. And when there is change, because they're very adaptable, they'll just adapt. But they will complain internally and get stressed about it. But they'll just go, fine, it's fine. Okay, yeah, sure, we'll do it. They also have a hard time making decisions. They don't like to make decisions. So, you know, and it's simple decisions like, where do you want to eat? Right after the session, we're going to lunch. So where do you want to eat? What do I feel like? I picked last time. It's your turn. What do you want to eat?
I don't really care.
You don't care? I know. I don't care either. Whatever you want. So could you imagine a husband and wife that are pearls? They would be skinny and no one would ever eat. Right? Like it would be 10 o'clock before they have dinner because they can't decide what to eat. So they're very indecisive. They rather have somebody else make decisions and they love to follow directions instead of be the one to make the decisions and get everyone else to follow. They much rather have somebody else make that decision. Every Friday night, this is a conversation with Hans and I, our Saturday night for our date. Every single week. It's absolutely hilarious. Honey, where do you want to eat? Wherever you want. You pick. It's every time. He's like, but is there something you're craving? Whatever you want is what I'll crave. That'll be fine. Whatever you want to eat. No joke. This is every single Saturday night for our date. It's ridiculous. Okay, so then there might be once a month that I am having something I really want. And this is how it goes. Honey, where do you want to eat? I really, really want the bistro. I don't think I want the bistro, though. I wasn't really craving that. And I'm like, I was thinking more like XYZ. Okay, let's go to XYZ. Happens every time. There might be once a year that I pick a place to eat for our dates. He's the one that picks it every single week. So I win once a year. Where I'll go, no, I really want the bistro. I have to kind of fight for the bistro the once a year that I'm going to eat what I want to eat. The rest of the time, I just go, totally, whatever you want is totally fine. Whatever you want is totally fine. It's pretty ridiculous. I'd probably be better challenged for him if I put up a fight every week. Anyway, so yes, pearls, we actually really, really deeply don't like making decisions, and we take a really long time to make decisions. Decisions for us is pressure. Yes, how many of you, that's you? Yes, when it comes to making decisions, it feels like pressure, even anxiety. I can take, for example, our general manager's here in the room. It took me a year and a half to make the decision to hire him. A year and a half. Ah! My inbox is filled with questions from people. And sometimes I can't even look at it. Decisions that have to be made. Not ready to look at that. When I see an email coming from someone I know is asking me a question and needs a decision, it's just like, that one just doesn't get opened. Just doesn't. Why? I can feel the pressure. Yeah, I can feel the pressure just like, nope, not ready to look at that. Not ready to answer that question. Not ready to make that decision. Anybody here the same? Yes. We are very sympathetic and thoughtful. We like to customize things for people and bless people. That's something that's really important. We have a tendency of being patient and sometimes to a fault. Our patience can be taken advantage of a lot. We are very tolerant of other people's beliefs. We're tolerant of people's lifestyles. We're tolerant of their choices. And it's, you know, some of their choices may be heartbreaking, but we're still going to love them through it. That's kind of where our heart comes from for people. And we are peacemakers. We sometimes will sadly do things we shouldn't just to keep the peace. And we'll put up with a lot of crap just to keep the peace. And it really isn't keeping the peace in all reality. It's just creating codependency instead. So peacemaking is a high priority. Harmony is a high priority for us. Everyone just being happy is a really high priority for us. So Pearls like to make people feel comfortable. They're great listeners. In fact, most people in this room, their best friend generally is going to be a Pearl. Just because of their ability to listen and just the willingness to listen. They have a strong sense of trust, and these people are not the people that these people are very disarming, very, very disarming. Just generally, even by their look, they have a tendency of being disarming. No one looks at them and says, they're going to take advantage of me, right? That's generally how a Pearl just has a disposition about themselves or, you know, this person's not going to hurt me. They won't even hurt a fly. They're hugging trees. They're going to be okay. The main weakness on a Pearl is they hate confrontation. They hate confrontation. And they feel like they're imposing on people when it comes to, let's say, making phone calls or to market something or to sell something. So they feel like they're imposing on someone. They don't want to take someone's time, you know. They want to be super cautious and considerate about someone's time, so they're afraid to make that phone call. They fall easily on people's sad stories, and they believe lies. Yeah, and it really works out great because those that take advantage of Pearls, it's a win-win for them somehow. And I know you're like, what? How does that work? Well, let me tell you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have lent money to the same people over and over again? Okay. And have never been paid back? Yep. So when they come to you again about borrowing money, are they going to pay you back? No, they're not going to pay you back. So why do you keep giving them the money when you know they're not going to pay you back? Say what? She says, I fall on their sad story. But why? Why do you give people money that you know you shouldn't give it to? Why?
You believe them
and you're enabling them. Okay. So she says, because I believe them and I'm enabling them. But say what? But I want to know the real motive. No, you know. Say what? You're just trying to help them. But why are you trying to help them? Because it makes who feel good?
Yeah.
Who? Who? Uh-huh. Because it makes you feel good to help. Because it makes you feel better about yourself to help that person. Because it makes you feel good to be the savior for the day. To be the hero for the day. It makes you feel good, which means this is selfishness. This is not generosity. This is selfishness. That's pride, is what that is. That's pride. That's feeding oneself's need. So that's why I said it's a codependent win-win. You want to feel good about yourself, and they need the money. So are you really helping them? You're not helping them. You're enabling them. You're keeping them broke, and you're keeping them stuck, and you're keeping them walking around that mountain of financial distress and problems that they continuously get themselves in every single time. And you're also teaching them it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal. You're teaching them it's okay to manipulate. It's okay to tell some big story about how they're the victim, and they can get away with it. So that's clearly teaching someone to be dishonest, dishonorable, and to lie, cheat, and steal, which is not your heart. It's not my heart. However, the reality is that we look for the quick fix, just like the drug addict that we're lending money to. And the quick fix for ourselves is I feel good if I'm giving somebody money and I'm pretending I'm helping them, when in all reality, I'm just helping myself. You are blocking God's blessing. So How many of you have given product to people? If you have a product line, how many of you have given it to people for free? Or at a discount, not charging tax and freight, right? Okay. Why do you do this? Huh? You want to be liked. Want to be liked by people, right? Want to be admired by people. Want to be known as someone that is going to help them and always be there for them, which is what, again? Selfishness and pride. So, and you know what's so funny? Is pearls have a tendency of being very judgmental, especially against their opposite gem right over there. You actually judge them as being selfish. You judge them as being selfish and everything being about them. When in all reality, you're just as much as they are. You just hide yours behind, I like to help people. Yours just sounds more admirable. That's all. We just sound more admirable because we want to help people, right? Yeah. We also do this because we hate confrontation. We absolutely hate confrontation. So we will avoid it at all costs. And the way that we avoid it is we'll say, yes, okay, sure, fine. And we'll give it to them, right? But here's the reality. I have a script for you right now. And when we continue at Creating a Dynasty in November, there's another script that is a simple one-page thing where you will be able to read it to the person and have restoration happen in the relationship instead of a blowout, because this is going to shock the rest of you in the room. The pearls who are like, you know, more calm, more collected, right? Yes, they're passionate about their causes. However, they're more even-keeled and they're patient and they can handle a lot of, you know, stuff that's going on, and they just, you know, just take deep breaths and have a bubble bath and do some yoga. These people that when they've been taken advantage of multiple times and someone hasn't honored the commitment that I can see some of them right now already nodding their heads and they can feel it coming. They've been taken advantage of. Someone hasn't honored a commitment. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this calm, even-keeled, sweet, disarming person manifests like a principality of darkness and a demon. All of a sudden, foul words are coming out of their mouth. Fangs have grown out of their teeth. Their eyes are piercing with lasers, and they just go at it, at that person. And then when it's all done, they say, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry for that outburst. I mean, I did mean it. You really shouldn't do those things to me, but I didn't mean to scream at you like that. Will you please? I feel so bad. God, please forgive me. I cursed. I said that word again that I said I never would say again. How many of you have done this? I did not have a hidden camera at your house. I have a camera at my own house. I get it, right? But it takes a lot to push us over the edge. But once we go over the edge, it's like, bam, we're done. We're done. So how many of you like to avoid those outbursts of rage? Because that's what they are. Those are fits of rage, okay? I want to show you a simple little script to bypass the next person that's going to call you next week to try to borrow money from you. When you get to Creating a Dynasty, you're going to be given a script and you're going to be able to have the chance to practice this through to where you'll be able to prevent it ever from happening. Does that make sense? So you don't get yourself in the place where you actually have to have that conversation. So let me give you this one right now. So that when someone calls you next week to borrow something from you again that you know is not going to pay you back, here's the simple words that you use. You say, thank you so much for calling. In fact, I was going to call you because I need to ask you to forgive me. I went to a training seminar this past weekend and I learned something about myself. And what I learned is that I've been really selfish in my relationship with you. And I have wronged you for a lot of years. And I cannot continue to hurt you in this way any longer. Will you please forgive me for all the times I have jumped in the way of your growth? I have stood in the way of you being able to learn how to manage your finances. I've stood in the way of you being able to learn from the consequences of your own decisions. because you haven't had to take, you haven't had to learn the consequences yourself. I took on your consequences. So please forgive me for standing in your way and keeping you in the same place that you're in right now. That was really poor leadership on my part. So at this time, my bank account is closed to you. But let me tell you what is open to you. What is open to you is an opportunity for you to learn how to succeed financially and to never be in this financial position ever again. I know it had to be super hard for you to make this phone call. In fact, when I think about all the times you've called me, and I can't imagine who else you have called all these years, I can't imagine how much courage that had to take to pick up the phone. And I want to make sure and help you to never have to pick up that phone again for the same reason. So do you have a piece of paper and pen handy? Write this down. DannyJohnson.com. She's a former homeless woman who grew up in a violently abusive, drug-infested home. She was abused in every way you can imagine. And when she was homeless, no one would help her. No one. Not a single family member helped her. Even she called her aunt, it's Christmas time, saying, rather than sending me a present for Christmas, can you just send me the cash instead? I have $35,000 in debt, $2.03 to my name. I am living out of my car. Is there any way you can just send me the cash instead? And her aunt said, no, you weren't on my Christmas list this year. Yeah, it was the best thing that could ever happen to me. The best thing that could have ever happened to me. So back to the story, you will say. So this woman says the best thing that ever happened to her is that no one would send her money. So she had to figure it out on her own. This woman managed to start a business from the trunk of her car in a payphone booth because she was done being homeless. She made $250,000 her very first year and made her first million by the end of her second year. Today, she's a multimillionaire and gives all the money from her company away. She just finished on a project with her clients building 1,000 homes in Nicaragua for the extreme poor. They take care of thousands of orphans every month, help bring water supply to almost 700,000 people every single month, getting kids out of the sex trade. Her life now is used for helping the extreme of the poor, the extreme of the abused. And she learned how to fix her financial situation to no longer be in need financially, but now she's one to give financially. She's got a free website where daily you can learn new skills on how to succeed in your job, in your relationships, and with your money. There's no excuse to stay in the financial situation you're in right now. Every single day you can tune in for free on that smartphone that you have. Every single day. You can go to DannyJohnson.com and you can listen and learn and never return back to this place ever again. So here's what I will do. I will be here for you. I will support you. I will encourage you because I believe in you, and I'm going to follow up with you to make sure that you listened to the show today. So go ahead and go check out the website. I will call you back in 45 minutes because that's how long the show is. See you later. Love you. Praying for you. That's your script. Rather than giving a handout, you give a hand up. And all you got to do is follow up and come alongside. The word comfort, by the way, your spiritual gifts, is a shower of mercy and service. And you are natural born comforters. Comforting is what you do. That is what comes natural to you. You want to comfort people who are mourning. You want to comfort people who are hurting. You want to comfort people who are sick. You want to comfort people who are struggling. The key is to move yourself out of the equation and really look at what real comfort is. It means to come alongside. Don't be there to comfort yourself. Be there to comfort the other person by helping to lead them in a way where they can change their life. And you're going to watch people's lives change. You're going to watch people stand on their own two feet and make wise choices. I've been in situations with family members where I've had to have that conversation many, many times. And I have a rule in my family with us is that you get to borrow money one time and you don't pay me back. This is a gift. This is your one shot ever in your life that I will help you financially only once. So make sure that you really need it. And make sure that this is the time you want to take advantage of that. Only once. And you're not paying me back. Why? Because I know they ain't gonna anyway. So I'm not gonna put the pressure on them, and I'm not gonna create an expectation on me of them somehow paying me back. So there's You got one shot. You got one phone call. That's it. After that, it's over. So how many of you can say the words that I just gave you to say? It's really simple. Does it make sense? It makes sense. It's still in love, and it's loving them at a higher place. Do you understand? That you actually want to see them succeed, and that means something to them. That's important to them. There are some, and there are many that call me for money. You can only imagine. You can only imagine. You can only imagine. Oh, my gosh, you know, she gives away all that money. I'm certainly going to be able to get some money from her. I have the wildest people who call me for money. And those people that call me, I'll say, you know what? Our relationship has never been about money, and it's not going to start to be. Our relationship is about something much deeper than money. Now, I am 100% willing to help you and to teach you, as I've taught thousands and hundreds of thousands, on how to succeed financially. So if you're ready to learn how to succeed financially and never have to make this phone call again, I'm here for you. But our relationship isn't about money. Our relationship is about honor and love. So you go work that out. And when you're ready to learn, I'm ready to teach. Ball's in your court. Guess who doesn't call me back? Right? Yeah. There are a few that have, and there are some that just don't. And that's okay. I don't want my relationship with them to be about money. Period. How many of you don't want your relationship with them to be about money? You don't. It needs to be about relationship, not about cash. So anyway, you can do that. You can say that. And then what do you do? Also for your businesses, how many of you again have given your product away for free? Okay. At a discount. And then you blame the business that it's not working, it's not profitable. No, that's a nonprofit. So if you want a nonprofit, just like step up and have a nonprofit. But you can't blame a business for not making money if you're giving your profits away. So and the question is that the person that you gave it away for free to, did they actually use it? Did they use it? No. Right? So we gave it away for free because we want them to have the benefit from it. It makes us feel good if we give it away for free. However, they're not getting the result. Why are they not getting the result of the product? They're not investing. They don't have any skin in the game. They have to pay their own money to get that. That's how the person that spent their last penny to get to First Step Success is the one who will get the most out of it. That's the one who will get the most. The one that it was easy for them to just write the check for the $300, $400, $500, That was too easy for them. So therefore, they're not going to force this event to pay back to them. Do you understand? So the ones that have to pay the most, not the most in dollars, but the most from them, that's everybody is different based on what their financial position is. That's who's going to gain the most out of the situation. So when you devalue your product by discounting it that way. You're devaluing your product by giving it away for free. So if you don't value it, they don't value it. So therefore, they're not using it. So what I say is you stand strong. Do you believe in your product or service? How many of you believe in it? You got into it because you believe in it, right? You believe in it. You're 100% in it. So you charge full price for it, and you carry yourself that way, that this has a high value because it does. Then you take the profit, and then you give it to those who are really in need. Do you understand? Those who are in extreme need, help those. Those people simply need a hand up. The extreme homeless, they need a home. They need a home. Do you understand? They don't have the basic standards of a home, of protection away from wind and rain and insane sun. Do you know what I'm saying? Help the kids. Do you understand? Help the kids get a leg up versus being so stuck 6 feet under that they cannot breathe. So take your profits and point the profits in the direction where you're going to have the greatest impact. Use the example you're seeing right here, right? If I had it my way, everything on that back table would be free. If I had it my way, this would be a free seminar. But how many homeless would actually be getting helped? How many orphans would we be feeding? Think about it. How many kids would be getting delivered out of the sex trade? How many houses would have been built? None, 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 none. Right? So giving something for nothing to a people who have the means to step up and they need to be committed to change their lives, I'm robbing people by making it free for them. So versus using the profits from this thing, which is why I take no profits and I take no salary, that is priced where it's at, which is more than fair. It's way at a discount. Give me a break. The price of our products are nowhere near what market value is. They should be multiplied times the price of what they are. And the fact is that money is going to where it's important. So I get wanting to give away everything for free. Trust me. I get it. I get it. But we've got a bigger cause and a bigger purpose than just making ourselves feel good about ourselves, right? That's what we have. And by the way, if you have never given to someone who can't possibly thank you or ever pay you back, there's no feeling like that. No feeling like that. There's nothing like that. Like one day, come to Nicaragua with us. Come to Israel with us. We're going to Israel. We'll be having a day taking care of orphans and the poor in Israel, the widows in Israel. There is no feeling like helping somebody's life improve, and there's no way they can thank you. There's no way they can pay you back. That's clean, man. That's completely clean. A lot of people give in order to get. A lot of couples do that with each other. They give in order to get, which is manipulation versus it being clean that you can't possibly be paid back. That is so fulfilling, at least if you're a pearl. And maybe for you, if not a pearl, being able to help when you can't get something in return is an amazing, satisfying feeling. Okay, pearls, I have to move on. I know, it would be really awesome if we had a potluck. And I know that I could get some essential oils over here. I can get some Reiki. I could get some reflexology. I could get a massage. I have to move on. Show this room what you're made of. Come on. Yes. 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 My husband took me to my first Metallica concert a couple months ago, and I got to hear, I got to hear that song played live, and it was powerful. It was really, 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 really powerful. Okay, so emeralds, that classical music and that metal music, also techno. How many of you emeralds enjoy techno? These people can actually work to that stuff. I don't know how, but they can actually work to that. They can have techno, metal, or classical playing, and that somehow it puts them in a tunnel of focus in some very interesting way. And these are also the people that listen to AM talk radio. A bunch of people arguing and fighting, and somehow they find some kind of stimulation and enjoyment out of that. Okay, emeralds, they enjoy instructions. They like instructions. These are the people that when something needs to be put together, and I know we've all found that today things don't come assembled anymore, that things come pre-assembled. It's the way that the companies have maintained their profits. They're not using their labor to put something together, but instead they're using the customer's labor to put something together. So when they get that package that has to be put together, these are the people that actually pull out the instructions, read all the instructions first, and then take an inventory of all of the parts. They have a table set out in the garage or it's on the kitchen table. They lay it out in the order of which the item needs to be put together. When they do the inventory and they find that something is missing, which 1 in 10 times there is something that is missing, when they find that something is missing, because of the fact that they did not do what sapphires do, which was rip through the package, because they did not take the styrofoam and turn it into snow, because they did not rip through the plastic, but because of the fact that they very carefully took the tape off the little plastic where it has the little nuts in it, they kept the styrofoam intact, they kept the box intact. When they find that something is missing, they package everything back up again. They put it in its appropriate slot inside of the styrofoam case. They tape it up. They write a scathing letter to the manufacturer demanding justice. My son, on his 6th birthday, needed to play with this toy. And because of the damages that you brought on my son emotionally, not having the thing that he wanted more than anything, I demand immediately This item, Federal Express, and I want a refund. And I'm going to call Consumer Reports. I am leaving a bad review if this is not dealt with properly. How many of you have written these letters? How many of you have followed up with emails and phone calls? Yes. So, we enjoy instructions and we enjoy accuracy. Yes. We have a deep appreciation also for competency. People who are competent, people who are dependable, who do what they say they're going to do. I don't care if you do more, just do what you say you're going to do. Be where you say you're going to be. Do the tasks that you said you would do and do it in the order in which I wrote the instructions for. Do not change the order. Do it exactly in the order I gave it to you. I took hours to write that instructional email. Hours, and I thought of every possible thing that needed to be thought of to make sure that there would not be a single question. Read the freaking manual. That's why there is a manual, so you do not have to contact me and ask me any questions. Questions frustrate me. I would like, please, for you just to follow the instructions that have already been laid out for you in the order that I gave it. I told you 17 times already. Twice is already too many as well. So we are very consistent. Our clothing generally is going to be dated. We like functionality. We like maintenance. We make things last a really super long time. We buy quality, but always at a discount. We're not going to pay full price for anything, and we'll wait a long time to make the decision on that item, and we'll find something and wait for it to go on sale, or we'll research other places where we can get it at a very discounted price, but then we take good care of it. We take very good care of our machinery, our cars, our computers, our furniture, our cookware, our clothing, our everything. Everything that we have that's entrusted into our care, we take really super good care of it. Just naturally, that's what we do. These are the kids that when they were little, they naturally got up and made their own beds. They just naturally made their own beds. They naturally did not put their clothes on the floor. They naturally put their clothes in the hamper. They naturally kept their closets organized and their drawers organized. They naturally kept their music organized. They naturally kept their toys organized. It is just natural for them. They did not have to be taught how to do any of that. Welcome home. Welcome home. Yesterday. Many of the clothes in my closet are 26, 25 years old. A lot of my shoes, 25, 26 years old. Anywhere from 10 to 25 years old is generally what the clothes is in my closet. I just make everything last a really long time. My husband has to go shopping twice a year because he destroys everything. There's not a pair of shoes that can outlast that man's feet. There's not a pair of jeans that can outlast him. There's not a shirt that isn't going to get ruined. Everything on his body gets destroyed. That's just how it is. Maintenance? No. And he likes variety. He wants to change it all up. He wore that last year. Don't want to wear it again this year. Me? I have a binder in my closet that I started in 2005. And it's every outfit I've worn on stage since 2005. So all I have to do is go back 2 years and pull the same outfit. The last time I wore this was in 2008. Exact outfit. Exact outfit. This is from the year 2008. It's in the binder. I'm like, great, I'll wear that. The jewelry, everything is listed out. The shoes, everything, the makeup, everything is completely listed out in there. And I literally just turn back and just, there it is, right? There it is. Same with yesterday's outfit. The last time I wore that was 2013. Same thing, except for that I had to replace the corset because I've lost a whole bunch of body fat. So my old corset was huge, so I didn't wear that. So instead, I found one on Amazon.com for $30. And that's what I wore in place of the other. So that whole thing, the shoes, the everything was from 2013. So literally, turn back. You can ask my daughter over there. She helps to dress me. Well, she's not over there now. She helps to dress me each week. And it's, all right, go back 2 years, go back 3 years, go back 5 years. Pick, 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 pick. There it is. What am I wearing tomorrow? Tomorrow is a newer thing, but the jacket is an old thing. Jacket's 11, 12 years old. So anyway, yeah. So we appreciate organization greatly. It ministers to our soul. We love routines. We love schedules. We like sticking to those schedules. We like things that are practical, even like gifts. We're not gifts people, but we like practical things. Anything that will help us and help our life be easier and stay maintained well. We have a real deep appreciation for facts. Numbers like are a love song, right? It's like a love song. We like statistics. We like studies. We love research. We're the kind of people that we can spend hours and 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 some more hours in research. I can take a single word and spend a week on that single word, just researching it, the origins of it, the meaning of it, and then looking up, you know, 12 other words that stem off of that one word and just keep going and keep driving it deeper and deeper and deeper. A lot of Emeralds enjoy science and computers. There are some of us Emeralds that we have, you know, a deep appreciation for history, biblical history. Like, that stuff is just fascinating, and we spend hours upon hours studying that kind of stuff. If there's a television show, if any of us watch TV, probably the History Channel, Discovery type stuff, like that kind of stuff is very, very fascinating to us. We like to ask a lot of questions, and we like verification. We enjoy verification. That if somebody brings us information, we want to verify that information. My girlfriend Mona, who is a flaming sapphire, is married to a hardcore emerald. And she and I have worked together for about 14 years now. And she brought something up about a month and a half ago that was like, wow, I never noticed that, but it's really true. And this is what it was. She says, you know, I learned something about emeralds. I discovered this recently. And she says, my husband, Tom, if I say the wood stove needs some more wood, he doesn't just take my word for it. He goes and he opens it and he checks it first to make sure that it needs wood. And she goes, and I realized that it isn't that he doesn't trust my suggestion or my analysis. He just has to verify that what I said was accurate, as well as take an inventory of how much wood will actually fit in there. Right? So he needs to know specifically how much wood needs to go in there. She goes, for all these years, I've gotten offended that he didn't trust me, that he didn't trust my word or trust my analysis. But I realize now that he's just verifying what I said, because verification is important for now. Why? Verification is important for accuracy. It's trust and verify. Trust and verify. Let's see. We're very persistent people, almost to a fault in some cases. And we can research to a fault as well. It can take a long time for us to make decisions because our head is wrapped in research. And unfortunately, the reason why we do all that research and the reason why it takes us a long time to make a decision is, tell me why. You don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to make a mistake. Unfortunately, we have got this pride-filled perfection attitude, this perfection bar that no one can live under, including ourselves. That we want everything to be perfect. We want it to be just right. And if it's not, we incur some anxiety over it, which is not healthy and not good. And it also shows that that's a significant amount of pride and a significant amount of arrogance. And how so? Because this standard of perfection is inhuman. That's why. And if we can't have it perfect, we don't want to participate, which is also not right. And we have a tendency of creating a lot of pressure on a lot of people that are around us because of this perfection. We require it out of ourselves and everyone else. So grace is not something that's a gift for us. Grace is something that we got to pray for, fast for, beg for, work towards, because we don't have a lot of grace for people making mistakes, which creates an environment that's not safe for the rest of the humans in the world to live with or work in. We have very high ethical standards. Ethics are very important to us. Integrity is very important to us. And we value people who carry those kinds of ethics. We are scheduled, and typically emeralds are the most on time out of everyone in the room. Out of every gem, the emeralds are the most on time. In fact, your opposite gems behind me, these people are generally always late. Now, watch this study. It's really rather interesting. How many of you sapphires do not wear a watch? Now, to us, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Right? Like, a watch is like a part of our being. You know what I mean? We would never think to forget a watch, not wear a watch. I mean, a watch is like, to someone who can't see, glasses, right? Like, you have to have that. I sleep with mine on. Mine never comes off except for in the shower. It's just on 24/7 minus 15 minutes, right? Yeah, so just as a wedding ring. But my wedding ring comes off at night, but my watch is on all through the night, all day, only comes off in a shower. Okay, but those of you who have a watch, how many of you that watch doesn't work? The watch actually doesn't even work. And why? Because to a sapphire, a watch is an accessory. That's the way they were wired. That's the way they were made. A watch is an accessory. It's not a timepiece, right? Now watch this. How many of you that do have a watch, your watch is set 10 minutes in advance? How many of you, your watch is 10 minutes to 30 minutes in advance? And how many of you are still late? So what does that tell you? They're committed to trying. They're committed to trying. They're committed to giving it their absolute best shot. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work out better. That's the reality. But you emeralds are the ones who are, if there's anyone on time, it's generally going to be emeralds most of the time. How many of you emeralds are late sometimes? Right. Awesome. Yes, but how many of you are on time most of the time? And for certain important functions, you're always on time. Yep. So, or early, right? Okay, so here's the deal. As you can see with your opposite gems, they are not on time. You are on time, and you have been trying to change them to be on time your whole life. How well is that working for you? How many of you would say it's a failure? It doesn't work. So then the next question is, why would you continue to hit your head up against the wall with demanding for a personality that generally is not on time to be on time? All you're doing is frustrating yourself and making them feel like a failure. All you're doing is creating an environment of them feeling like they will never measure up, they will never be good enough, and they will ever never do enough to please you. And at the same time, that when you know you're married to an emerald or your boss is an emerald and you continuously show up late and don't deliver the items on time, you continuously challenge their patience, that is also dishonorable. Just as dishonorable is for them to require for a cheetah to not have spots, you're doing the same thing when you get upset that they're upset that you're late. So it's something that can be fixed on both sides. And what can be fixed is, A, if you really love them and honor them, you're going to put forth what matters to them ahead of your own desires and your own personality. Do you understand? That's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's understanding who they are and how much it perturbs them and honoring that personality, saying, okay, well, I'm in front of an emerald. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to be on time. And you do that. At the same time, you, the way you honor them is to have grace with them and bring your laptop, your tablet, get some work done while you're waiting for them to show up. And when they show up, don't give them the you idiot look because you're not safe when you do that. And you're not going to have camaraderie and you're not going to have cooperation from those people. The fact is you need those sapphires over there. You need them. In fact, how many of you are married to a sapphire? And how many of you sapphires are married to an emerald? Okay, and they say opposites attract. I think the reason is this, is that the emerald saw you, sapphires, dancing on tables and chairs. They saw you sneaking out at night, toilet papering the principal's house. They saw you doing all kinds of wild things, and you would look at them and go, oh, that would be so much fun. That would be so cool. it made you nervous inside and yet kind of excited inside. And you're like, oh my gosh, that'd be so cool. That'd be so cool. And then one day, one of them grabbed you and they brought you on top of that table and they started to get you to dance and you went wild. Just like you do at a metal concert. Just like you do in other forums that you know you have a wild side to you that you just generally, in your reserved way, don't want anyone to see. So they made you feel alive. And the reason why they were attracted to you is because they were compared to you their entire lives. Why can't you be more like Joey, who's an emerald? Why can't you be on time? How come you can't get your homework done? How come you can't clean your room? How come? Because they were compared to you and they were made to feel like they were nothing because they weren't you. They figured if they married you, they wouldn't get in trouble anymore. But sadly, so the things that you were attracted to in them, you wanted to change in them, they wanted to change in you, and rather than covering each other's weaknesses and celebrating each other's strengths, you decided to try to pick on each other for the next however many years that you've been married. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. In fact, I've heard from many emeralds, they would love to buy a house right across the street from their own house. That house would always be clean. It would always be organized. It would be quiet. Things would run in a timely fashion. And you could go next door or across the street and visit your family and let them live however it's way that they want to live. How many of you have had this secret little evil thought? Right? Okay. Your spiritual gifts are discernment and wisdom. And you tend to operate also in prophecy. If you study prophecy in the Bible, generally they were emeralds. The prophets generally were emeralds. They were very black and white, very cut and dry. There is no fluff. There is no grace. It is, you are breaking every law that God has written, and you're going to burn for it. If you don't turn right now, his wrath is going to come on you, and he's going to smite you with disease and pestilence. He's going to open the earth and swallow your butt in it. So turn, baby, or burn. I'm out. If you study the prophet, there's not a whole lot of fluff. There's not encouragement. There's not edification. There's not whatever that other word is. Exhortation. Ain't no exhortation. It is turn or burn. You are screwing up. I'm out of here. I'm out because I don't want to be with you when you die. Because you're going to die. You are on a path of destruction. You are not bringing the offerings. You are cheating the poor. You are screwing this up. You're sleeping around. You're taking bribes. You're done. Change. Bye. Many of them were killed. They were. Why? They did not have any smoothness in their tongue. It was very factual. You are a loser and you're losing and you're going to get yours. Kind of sad. Anyway, so it wasn't the exhortation, edification, and encouragement message throughout all the prophets, if you read them. It's not that message. Even Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, it's harsh, man. Really, really harsh. And the Bible says he never sinned. But he was harsh, really harsh. Yeah, that's the part that no one wants to study about him. He's just loving everybody. Love has judgment that comes with it as well. Anyway, so those are your spiritual gifts. And you find that working with people is your greatest thorn in your side. And many of you have picked professions where you don't have to deal with people. You thought if you deal with numbers, you don't have to deal with people. You deal with computers, you don't have to deal with people. The fact is there's people everywhere all the time and will always be for the rest of your life. You gave birth to people. You married a people. You do shopping with a people. You get gasoline from a people. There are people around everywhere all the time and you cannot control them. But what you can control is how you react to them. What you can control is how you understand them and learn how to motivate them and accept them for who they actually are. When that happens, listen, the world can't live without emeralds. In fact, emeralds rule the world. They do. They rule the banks. They rule the investing world. They rule everything. They rule government. They set up government. Emeralds rule the world. So we can't live without them because we can't live without order. However, you can't be a dictator either. Dictators. people want to kill them. Catching what I'm throwing at you? That goes for the men and the women. Dictators are not welcome. People try to kill them. So the fact is that we have to learn better people skills and learn a better understanding of other personalities so that we can move everybody collectively towards a common vision. We have to stop this personality more than anybody tries to change people. It's a failing equation. You will never change anyone, ever. But you can change how you talk to each gem. You can change how you deal with each gem. And you can change what you expect out of each gem. Make sense? Yes, and it's simple to do. You realize this is my strengths, these are my weaknesses, those are theirs. This is why I have found emeralds to learn to become some of the best communicators. Some of my best students were emeralds who were really, really bad at communicating with people and really focused in that one area and improved their skill set so much that people don't know that they're an emerald. People don't know it because you can learn how to speak all the different languages that are here in the room. I've been speaking all four gems all weekend long. I've been speaking a lot of Ruby this weekend, actually. I've been speaking all four gems all weekend long. And if I can learn how to do that, you can learn how to do that. If you were to come into my house, you would see all the signs all over the place of what my gem is. If you were to come into my closet, you will see everything organized in my closet, starting with no sleeve on my shirts, so sleeveless, to a spaghetti strap, to a cap sleeve, to a short sleeve, to a three-quarter length sleeve, to a long sleeve, light to dark, everything. All my shoes in boxes, all those boxes, I have them memorized. I know when I bought that pair of shoes. All the boots are together, right? The heel length, according to heel, according to color, all of it is in there perfectly organized. We have a deep fascination with our dishwashers. This is a pain point for us. The dishwasher is a pain point for us. We want it loaded according to the manufacturer specification. We want it done correctly, right? The top rack has those cups, right? The knives go down, right? Everything perfectly fits in there, and we wash the dishes before we put them in the dishwasher. There's no food left on any item, and we do not put pots and pans or big bowls in the dishwasher. But guess what those people do? Everything, there we go. There it is. Yep, that's what my daughter's dishwasher looks like, actually. Actually, that must be, that is your house. Is that your house? That is my daughter's house. That is her dishwasher. That is her idea of loading a dishwasher. That's it right there. I don't let her touch the dishes in my house. Every Friday night, we have a big family dinner. I always go back, as soon as everybody leaves, I go back through the dishwasher. I pull the pots and pans out. I pull the wooden spoons out. I pull all the stuff that still has food on it, and I redo it all over again. Yep. Why? Because she does it the way she wants to do it. I do it the way I want to do it. I don't get upset that she likes to do it the way she does it. I just do it the way I want to do it. I found something out. My job is the extra detailed work. That's my job. Okay? Their job is to get it to where they get it to, and my job is to take it across the finish line to completion. Because we like things done. How many of you love things finished? How many of you can't handle things unfinished? I hate things unfinished in my fridge. I hate it when there's a tiny little bit of something left. Can't stand it. Eat this, right? Micah usually is the one. Micah, you need to finish this. Micah, you need to finish this. Please eat this. Micah, please eat this. I'm not kidding you. If you were to eat at my house, I'm going to make sure it's all gone. You need to finish this. We're leaving. We're leaving town. You need to finish this. This has to be gone. I've met my full calorie count, and my macros are perfect today. I cannot eat that last three bites of spinach. I'm done. So you have to finish this. You're 18, you're young, and you need to eat more spinach. Okay. Anyway, emeralds, could you imagine if communication and people didn't drive you crazy anymore? Could you imagine if you learned how to motivate them? Imagine if you went to Mexico and you had one language, you speak German, they speak Spanish. You go to a deep, deep place where there is no tourism. There's nothing in English. How are you going to find a beer in a bathroom? You're not. You don't have GPS. You don't have a translator. If you had to fully depend on just your language and how to communicate with a language that you cannot understand, it'd be very challenging to find a beer in a bathroom. That's exactly how it is in your house and at your office every single day when you're working with other gems. Same way. You say party, they have a certain picture that goes in their head. They say party, you have a certain picture that goes in your head. And you both show up to the party, and you're like, what the? They show up to your party, and they're like, I'm bored, I'm out of here, man. What the heck is this? I thought you said there was going to be a party. Do you understand? Why? Because words have definitions, and each gem has their own definition for those words. So when you can learn what the definitions are to each one of these gems, when you can learn and understand what that means to them, now you clear up the miscommunication. Instead of writing a 17-point email that they are never going to respond to. But then you ask this three-letter word, this three-letter word that you lead with whenever you talk to many people in the room. Do you know what the three-letter word is? Why? Why are you late? Why do you consistently challenge me in this way? Why did you only answer three of the 17 points in my email? I took 3 hours to write that email. Please tell me why you refuse to follow directions. Why can't you just seem to get this right? Why do you insist on being told 4 times? You don't like being in trouble. I don't like being the wench. So this is a win-win. All you have to do is follow directions and everything would be perfect. How many of you have asked these questions? But is it really that they just need to follow directions and everything would be perfect? No. You need to stop writing 17-point emails and provoking people to fail. Do you understand? You're setting people up to fail with these kinds of standards simply because you don't understand the personality that is reading the email, that is responding to the advertisement that you're working with. When you understand who you're working with, then you adjust your communication to who they are. Now we have clear communication. And it is something that is very, very simple. Can I get a microphone, please? Stuart Lynn is a prime example of a fellow precious emerald that I love. Looking good, man. Stuart has 8 children. One of them is right here. How you doing, gorgeous? Go ahead and tell your creating a dynasty story that since you've been tapping into here, how you were broke with 8 children, what has changed?
Prior to plugging into First Step Success and DannyJohnson.com, I was married, had 8 kids. Did everything my parents told me to do, went to school, got an engineering degree, was living paycheck to paycheck, broke as a joke. My parents were having to help me pay my light bill to keep the lights turned on. Was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I went to First Steps and then creating a dynasty. And since then, I was able to start my own engineering company, have 4 different companies, paid off $285,000 in debt, and I'm doing 7 figures gross in those 4 companies.
Employ, Stuart?
Ma'am?
Who are some of your employees?
I have about 30 employees. Half of them are family members. My parents, 4 of my kids, couple nephews, about half family.
Mm-hmm. How did you communicate with all those people before?
Not very well. So the biggest thing that I got was the first steps was the gyms and then going to the dynasty and spending the group session and really understanding all the different gyms. Obviously, I have all 4 gyms and my 8 kids and with my wife. So grooming the next generation for success was a big thing with my kids and being able to communicate and being able to offer grace. And those different personalities has made a big, huge difference.
What do you say to your friendly emeralds next to you? Let's just get that word out. To your fellow emeralds, what do you say to them about November?
you got to go to Dynasty. The first steps, yes, this is just the very elementary side of just to realize that, yeah, you have a problem. But with, the good thing about the Dynasty is it's 3-4 days of nothing. It's when I talk to my kids and even my wife, I was hesitant about getting them to Dynasty because it was very, very, very uncomfortable for me. But they all enjoyed it, of course. They're all different personalities. But the big thing is, yes, it's uncomfortable, but it just opens the door to so many things, learning the personalities. And it's, you just have to go, no matter, just do it.
Yeah. And you couldn't afford your first Dynasty. Mm-mm. You couldn't afford your first steps. Now you got lots of cash.
Way more than I had when I first started.
So, at Dynasty, you for 3 days will be learning GEMS. For 3 days, you'll be putting into practice learning these languages and speaking those languages with the people that are around you for 3 days. Every exercise that we do, you'll be challenged to use the GEM. You'll be sitting in front of a GEM, and you'll speak the language that they speak. So after those 3 days, you're going to have a pretty good idea of a new language, if not three new languages that are foreign to you, so that you can mirror and speak the language of the people that are in front of you instead of demanding those people to speak like you. Because demanding people to speak like you is never going to work. How many of you found that to be true so far? It's never going to work. So there is so much more grace. Are you having a better time with life?
Amazing. Been able to travel the world and do things that I never dreamed possible. I mean, to think 8 years ago, I couldn't even pay my light bill. And so been a good ride.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How much weight have you lost now?
120 pounds.
That's amazing. So proud of you. Then you can give it to Butch, actually. All right. So, wow. How did that get in there? All right. So we're going to move on, ladies and gentlemen, even though I know that your notes have asterisks on them and footnotes and you wrote out your GEM inside of each one of those boxes. It is time for us to, in a timely and efficient fashion, move on to our rubies. Yes. I know that you love to observe things, and you probably came to the same exact conclusion that I did, and that is that the rubies have absolutely no synchronized rhythm. None. That clapping was all completely off. And here's what's so beautiful about that is because they're all leaders trying to get each other to follow them. Each individual ruby here is saying, follow me. I've got the beat. This is the beat. This is... You idiot, this is the beat. Hello, stupid. Why can't you follow this? This is really simple. Here it is. It's because all rubies are trying to lead each other. And that doesn't work out so well. Doesn't work out so well at all. There seems to always have to be one person that's the lead and everyone else has to follow. And if you're working with a bunch of rubies, they all think that you're supposed to follow them. So therefore, there's not a lot of cooperation amongst rubies who are attempting to work together. Because they're all fighting for the top position. If you're not first, then you're a loser, right? Something like that. Okay, so rubies. Rubies are intense. They are powerful. They are focused. They are deliberate. They get more done than any other gem in the room, by far. They are the fastest at everything, and they are the best at everything. Just ask them. They will tell you. They will. Generally, when you meet a ruby, they give you their resume right away. They give you their first and last name, and they tell you all about themselves, everything that they do, how many businesses they have, where they're from, their accomplishments, their achievements, their awards, and how many kids they have. Generally, that's how they introduce themselves, is they need you to know that they are important by their achievements, and they pretty much gauge their identity in their achievements. That's super important to them. Is if they're not achieving something, then they feel like they're dying, and they have to achieve more than normal. I have a daughter right now who's going to school, and she's got six children, and six children is not, you know, challenging enough. So in addition to the six children, she decided to enroll in school because she wanted to finish off her degree in something. And so 12 units, which is full-time college, is just too easy, and that's for the average person. So she's holding down 24 units, and she has, oh wait, I'm sorry, and she has a 4.0. She has a 4.0. with six children and 24 units. And why? Because 12 units for six kids is just not challenging enough. 12 units is not challenging enough. 24 units is not challenging enough, but a 4.0 with 24 units and six children now. All right, that's better than everybody in the room. I have shown up everybody. I'm good. I win. So, some of these people are here like, fine, I'm up in my units now. That's, all right. I'm going for seven children now. And I'm going to get more than a 4.0. Okay, so they like to be in authoritative positions. This is the way they were wired. This is not a bad thing. Somebody has to lead, and these are the people that are called to lead. In fact, your spiritual gift is actually rulership. The actual literal translation in the Aramaic, which is what the New Testament was written in first, from Aramaic to Greek, Greek to English. So with the Aramaic translation, that actual word that is used in 1 Corinthians to talk about the spiritual gifts is not administer. How boring, right? Yeah, the gift of administration or the gift of leadership. No, the actual translation, it means to rule. That's what it actually means. Now, that's Ruby, ruling. That's Ruby. They're very determined. They take charge in every situation. They're incredibly confident. They were born with an extra dose of confidence more than anybody else in the room. These are the kids. They are in charge for sure. They are in charge for sure. This group of people with their extra dose of confidence has done a lot of things in their life. They've had a lot of experiences. How many of you are very enterprising? You've started a lot of businesses. Yep. And how many of you did this as a child? Yeah, just as a child, you found a way to make money. And making money is part of your DNA. It is something that you do very, very well, very, very easily. You start things very, very easily. You create things very, very easy. If you are a ruby sapphire, then you start a lot of different types of businesses. You start them very, very, very fast. You might have three or four going at the same time. If you are a ruby emerald, you don't do that. You have what you can actually manage and what you can take care of. And ruby emeralds like to finish things, and ruby sapphires don't. Yeah, they completely fly by the seat of their pants. Exactly. They fly by the seat of their pants. They go with their feelings. They go with their gut. They're very competitive, and they'll compete with everything and everyone. That's just what they do. When they walked in the room yesterday, they were sizing up the competition to see who the best dressed was, see who was the best looking. They came to the conclusion it was themselves. They came to the conclusion that there was absolutely no competition at all. They love to make decisions. This is something I really admire about my husband. He is a great decision maker. He's a quick decision maker, where decisions make me anxious. They put pressure on me, and I can't stand that. But Hans is amazing at making quick decisions and going after those decisions and following those decisions through. So making decisions does not intimidate you in any way. It doesn't scare you. It's just, let's go. And you do it very quickly. You go with that thing in your gut that says yes, and that's most of the time what your gut is saying is yes. Yes, I can. Yes, in fact, I will. Nope, I already did. I already did. It's already done. And if you tell these people that they cannot do something, it's game over. They already did what you told them that they can't do. So they not only will tell you that they will do it, they will call you while they're doing it. They will call you when they're done doing it. And then they will call you to remind you that you did not believe them and that you told them they couldn't and that you did. You love proving people wrong. You love proving people wrong. You're very adventurous. You don't like doing things that everybody else does. You have to do something that's different that nobody else would do. My husband grew up in Hawaii, right? He grew up on the streets in Hawaii. And everybody in Hawaii, what's the activity they do? Surf, right? So because everybody surfs, he was not going to surf. He's a diver, right? Diving required more skill. You make money doing it, right? You don't have to talk to people. He liked that idea that he didn't have to talk to anyone. He could just get his work done, pounded out, held down two jobs, making $18 an hour when he was 16 years old. Better than everybody, right? Because it was impossible. So that's pretty powerful. So very, very adventurous. Skydiving. Have any of you ever done skydiving? Yeah. Whatever stirs your adrenaline, that's the kind of stuff that you like to do. You like to tackle things that that others think you can't do. And you like to tackle things that are hard. You generally don't like to tackle things that are easy. Very strong-willed and independent thinkers. You don't want anyone to tell you what to do. You hate people telling you what to do. I love using my husband as an example here. It's really funny. I've been one to be incredibly diligent and disciplined with taking care of myself. You know, I've been taking vitamins for 26 years. You know, I've eaten a certain way for 26 years. You know, just super disciplined with that. And Hans, like, I don't know, it was probably about 10 years ago or so, he'd said, you know, honey, gosh, I'm kind of getting a belly and I'm kind of, you know, kind of more tired. I'm kind of lacking some energy. Honey, will you help me eat better? And will you help me take my vitamins? I'm like, yeah, I would love to. Absolutely. Gosh, I'm so blessed that he'd ask me to do that. Yeah, I'd love to. So then I started to teach him about nutrition and some things that he could, you know, change inside of his diet so that it can help him lose his belly and how that can happen quickly and all this stuff. And he's kind of always done some kind of working out thing throughout the years. So, you know, so I would tell him that. He's like, okay, awesome. And then so then I would catch him like, okay, so what did you have for lunch? I had a Cover's burger. All right. What did you have for a snack? Snickers bar. Okay. It's not quite on plan. And this would happen again and again and again. And then he would say, don't tell me what to do. You asked me to tell you what to do. You asked me to tell you what to do. And now you're telling me not to tell you what to do. Okay. Here's another one. To take his vitamins. I bit this hook several times for several years. I bit the hook every time. I said, will you help me? Will you remind me to take my vitamins? Can you put them out for me? Sure, I'd be glad to, right? Sure, I'd be glad to. Why? Why will I do that? A, because he asked. Two, I love to serve. Three, I want him to live a long time, and I don't want the two of us to end up with a bunch of health problems and, you know, knee surgeries and all this other stuff, right? That's why I'm willing to do that for him, right? So then, after a few years, I figured this out. I'm not biting that hook anymore. So the next time that he asked me, I just said, you know, I just don't think it's in the best interest of our relationship for me to be your mother and remind you what to eat and to take your vitamins. So I'm just going to stay your girlfriend and I'm just going to believe in you no matter what it is that you decide to put in your mouth. And I'm going to love you no matter what. So at this time, I don't think it's best for our relationship for me to tell you about your vitamins. He's like, all right, you're right. So then he picks up his phone and he puts a reminder in his phone telling himself to take his vitamins. So it's at noon, take your vitamins, !! with another alert in there, okay? So then he started to, you've done this before.
I do this all the time.
Yeah, so then he has this reminder in his phone to do this, right? And I remember this one day, I will never forget this so long as I live. Hopefully if I keep my brains in my head. Anyway, so he all of a sudden this alert goes off, he picks it up, he reads it, and he goes, So I'm like, wow, who text messaged him? I'm like, what was that? Right? So I'm like, what that? He goes, and he showed it to me. Take your vitamins. He's like, no. So here, he tells himself what to do, and he doesn't like it. That is an extreme Ruby of all rubies. Dang. So rubies, listen to me, everybody else in the room. They hate being told what to do. They hate, actually, rubies, listen to me. Rubies hate being told what to do. You have rubies in your life, and you're telling them what to do. You have rubies in your life, and you're telling them what to do. Everything that you know ticks you off, you're doing that to your rubies. This creates fights, stress, and contention. Yeah. They're very self-reliant, but yet controlling of other people. No. Self-reliant, but controlling of others. Especially want to control other rubies who can't be controlled. You want people to think like you, and you work with other rubies, but you don't want them to think. Does that make sense? Too much sense? They're very persistent and action-oriented. Everything is about taking action for you. It is thinking after you take action, not thinking before. You act first, think later. So you are responders and reactors. Ask for forgiveness than permission. Yeah, my daughter has a philosophy, I'd rather ask for forgiveness than for permission. Right, guys? Okay, so all of this confidence and all of this leadership, when it has zero accountability because they hate accountability, they never play their best game. Because the competition that they choose to size themselves up with is always lesser than them, just a little. So that they can always be winning and they can always be on top. So they certainly don't ever surround themselves with people who are better than them. They always make sure and surround themselves with people who are just a little less than what they are. They hate accountability. They don't want anybody holding their feet to the fire. They don't want anybody reminding them of their commitment. So therefore, many rubies end up mediocre. And they hate mediocrity with a passion. They hate average with a passion. Ego gets in the way and says, I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody. But here's the facts. You will never create wealth by yourself. You will never create wealth by yourself. You'll not even become debt-free by yourself. You will not grow to the highest levels of your profession or build the business to the highest levels you desire to by yourself, ever. But rubies have a tendency of telling everybody, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. Which is very destructive in a marriage and in a business. I don't need you. I can do this without you. So we are poor delegators. Rubies have a hard time delegating, and why? Especially if they're ruby emeralds. If you're a ruby emerald, you don't want to delegate because you want it done right. You want it done right, and you're the only one that can do it right. Your perfection standard, you'll take care of it on your own, which means you'll work till 3 a.m. to get it done. So on the other side, the ruby sapphire, they can recruit some help. They can recruit some help just to get something done faster and still according to their way of wanting to get it done. It's not about raising up other leadership. You see, the highest level of leadership is raising up other leaders and raising up other leaders that surpass your level of success. That's a high level of leadership. But generally, rubies don't raise up other leaders. Generally, they keep people stuck because they're going to take care of everything themselves. How many of you have done this? So then the lifestyle of that is a lot of stress, poor relationships, poor diet, and a lot of pressure and no sleep, because you can sleep when you're how did you know that? And your standard for other people is fast and furious. That's your standard for your children. That's your standard for your coworkers. That's your standard for your spouse. I have watched women in this horribly confused society, ruby women, drive their emerald pearl husbands to nervous breakdowns, all because they want to say their husband has an important job. All because they want to say that their husband has an important position in some kind of an important company. I've also seen those same ruby women drive their children to be graduating with honors and tons of extracurricular activities, always being the best and driving no matter who their kid is, not even realizing what the personality of their kid is, driving that kid to be the absolute best. That kid is stressed out. That kid has no sleep. That kid has no fun and winds up hating their parents. Because of the stress and pressure that the parent put on that kid, making that kid be a ruby. And why, generally? Because a ruby's identity is locked up in the success of their kids and the success of their husband. Everyone has to be a top-notch producer, ball-busting record breaker. It's a great way to ruin a family. It's a great way to ruin a family. I've watched actually one of my friends do this, and one of her daughters almost died because of it. So much talent in this child. And the daughter almost died first year in college. Because of stress and pressure. Why? Because mom has to tell her family that her daughter graduated from honors 2 years early. That's why. So, rubies have a tendency of living a life of pressure. High pressure. And no peace. You're very active people. You like to be busy. And if you're not busy, you don't feel normal. But you can't stay busy at that pace for a long time and still live. I told you yesterday that in my early years of business that I had someone else define success for me. In my early years, right? Somebody told me that success was a Mercedes-Benz, big houses. Someone told me that success was fancy cars and expensive clothes and eating out and dropping money like it was hot. That was success. Having important positions, right? That was success. And it almost killed me. It literally almost killed me. When I was 24 years old, I had a heart attack. I was working 16 to 18 hours a day. I did not spend time with my husband, Hans. We hated each other, and I did not know my two little kids that I had at home. I did this for a year and a half, and what's so stupid and crazy is that I made my first million working part-time. I made my first million working part-time. Isn't that crazy? And after I made my first million, and I got embezzled, and I lost that money, and I lost that position, and I lost that success, and I lost that recognition, I almost killed myself trying to get it back, trying to impress everybody else and trying to impress myself that somehow I could make it. So 18 hours a day, 16 to 18 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, nearly 100 hours a week is what I was working. I'm 24 years old, and I have a heart attack with two babies. The next year, I had a nervous breakdown. I didn't stop. The heart attack didn't stop me. That no excuse attitude, that I had to do whatever it took to win, I was sacrificing my marriage, I was sacrificing my health, and I was sacrificing my two little kids. Fortunately, that only happened for a year and a half. Thank God. And that nervous breakdown, I tried to kill myself. My husband's a martial artist, and if he wasn't, I'd probably be dead. I had a cleaver in one hand, a chef knife in the other, and I was ready to gut myself. And he dropped me to the floor, got on top of me, and pinned me down with those knives like there. And here came Erica coming outside of her bedroom, 4 years old, saying, "What's going on, Mommy?"
Scary.
Very scary. Here I was becoming what my parents were and having my children see what I swore I would never want my children to see. I was duplicating the past that I came from. All for money. All for money. All for achievement. All for success. The thing I said I didn't want to become. The thing I said I didn't want to do. There I was doing it. And why? My identity was all wrapped up in money and achievement. Why? Because I wanted to not be like my family. Someone show me what success looks like. They showed me, they told me, this is how you become successful and this is what it looks like. And I started chasing something that wasn't even me. Wasn't even me. My first business, I worked like that too. I worked like that. But fortunately, I didn't have kids in the home. So I had nothing else to do. I worked super hard. Why? That's what I was told. This is 6 days a week. These are 12-hour days. And I made $50,000 that first. And then I burnt myself out. I got married. I moved to Hawaii. And guess what? I chilled on the beach for 6 months. I did nothing. And I didn't care if I went broke. And when I had that nervous breakdown, this is what I said. I don't care if I go broke. I don't care. This sucks. The pressure of the mortgage, the pressure of the two businesses that I'm running, the pressure of payroll, $50,000 a month, the pressure of all of this is not worth it. I'd rather go broke and be the laughing stock of the universe than to live like this, because this life sucks. This is a joke and it's not worth it. And so I had to make some major changes. I had to start thinking some things through about what actually was important to me. And honestly, my marriage wasn't important to me until I met somebody that called me out on the carpet. And this was a vice president of a good-sized company, pretty large company, who called us out. We were at Chili's restaurant, and he says, you know, Danny, there's nothing you could do to get me to join you in your business ventures. Nothing. And I said, listen, buddy, I got a 90% closing ratio. If you're breathing, there's a good 9 out of 10 chance that you're a done deal. He's like, nope, not me. I said, why do you say that? He goes, because your life sucks. You don't have anything I want. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, you can tell you and Hans hate each other. You can tell someone else is raising your kids. You can tell you have no life. You probably haven't been on a vacation in years. Your life is about nothing but money. Who the heck wants that? He says, that's what you're selling. You ain't selling a promise to a better future. You're selling how to have a crappy life and how to kill yourself for money. I started bawling. You're right. What do you suggest? He says, the two of you need to go on a 3-day long weekend once a quarter. I'm like, with him? We will kill each other. One of us will end up in prison if we do that. He's like, no, with him. Can I just take my girlfriend? I love being with my girlfriend, Jerry. Can I just go with Jerry? I mean, do I really have to? No, you and him. 3 days alone together, no kids, no business conversation, no nothing. You just spend 3 days together. And you need to hire somebody to teach you how to manage your time. He said, you have not yet seen your best production or the best talent that's inside of you. You have no idea what your potential is. And you will only know if you have accountability. I have a question for you. How many of you were in sports? Okay. So how many of you had a coach that made you puke? Right? You had a coach that made you puke. Was that your best performance? Was that your best coach? You hated that coach, but that coach pulled the best strength and performance out of you. How many of you agree? Yep. Hated him. Hated him for the 500 bleachers you had to run. Hated him for all the burpees you had to do. Hated him for the lines that you had to do, right? Absolutely hated him. Cursing him at night when you can't get in or out of bed. Your body is so stiff and it's in so much pain, right? Yeah. But did you not play your best game? If you're not... with a coach that's making you puke, if the accountability in your life is not making you uncomfortable, if the accountability isn't making you nearly throw up, you ain't got no accountability. So a ruby that doesn't answer to anybody leads themselves into destruction. A ruby with no accountability leads themselves into destruction. But a ruby with tight accountability leads themselves to high levels of success, the highest levels of performance with the least amount of effort into it. It's the truth. It's the truth. So you want to be the best? You need to be accountable. That'll pull the absolute best out of you. You need to be accountable. And you got to go against the grain. You see, you all think you're going against the grain. That's what you think. But you're in the 98%. You ain't going against the grain. You might just be at the upper echelon of the 98%. But you're still in the 98%. You're not swimming against the tide. You're swimming with them. You're just swimming faster with them on a 98% path. It's the truth. It's the truth. How do you break free from that? Learn how to manage your time. Get some accountability. Get some accountability. Manage your time. You see, because of your confidence, you have you say yes to a lot of things. Not evaluating what the commitment level is actually going to be, how much time is it actually going to take, and who is going to be negatively affected by this decision. Your life is not your own, and you don't live on your own. How many of you are married with children? How many of you work with other humans? Your life is not your own. Do you hear me? And you don't do this alone. So every decision that you make has an impact and effect on everybody else. So when you consider the full team, the full picture, then you're able to make wise decisions. If you don't, here's what happens. You're against your spouse. And when you're against your spouse, what happens when you go to work? Tell me, what happens when you go to work? What are you thinking about? You're thinking about everything but work. You're thinking about the jerk or that nag that still is bugging you. You're still thinking about the argument. You're toiling about it. You're torments about it. It won't stop in your head. The tape's going. It's going. It's going. It's going. It's stressing you out. It's stressing you out. It's ticking you off. It's ticking you off. And now you can't perform. You get home. You kick the dog. You scream at the kids. You ignore your wife or you ignore your husband.
So good. How do we make it stop?
Been there, done that, right? So do you see what I'm talking about? So that's the self-reliant. I'm going to do it by myself. I don't need anybody. So how do you fix it? You have to see that you are a part of a plan. You're part of a picture. You're part of a team. And everybody on your team, although they are not they're not as fast as you, they do things that are better than you. And it's learning to recognize the strengths in these others that are over here and learning to celebrate those strengths and give opportunity for those strengths to be realized and you working in your strengths. The other thing is that learn the skill of working less and making more and getting more done. It's a skill. I learned that skill. So when I learned how to manage my time, that's how I did it, by the way, was in managing my time. It's the secrets of time is what it is. So the secrets of time is this. It's so crazy. I cut my hours back to 20 hours a week. So that means I stopped working the extra 80, right? So I no longer was working 100. I started working 20 hours a week. Guess what I found out? That all the list of things that I thought I was doing weren't producing anything. That all the things that I thought were important, well, when you only got 20 hours a week, you got to cherry pick the key, most important, productive things that are going to get a result, right? And that's the only thing you can focus on. Everything else falls to the side. So I started working 20 hours a week and tripled my income. Working less. Tripled my income working 20 hours a week. What did I do with the other 80 hours? I spent it with my kids and my husband. I became a wife for the first time. Even though I was married, even though I had the title, even though I had the title of mother, I was not a mother. I was a birther. I became a mother for the first time. I actually started taking care of my own home, started cooking, started cleaning, started being a wife, started focusing on Hans, started focusing on the kids, and I found the strangest thing. I actually enjoyed it. It took a while, but I actually enjoyed it, and I looked forward to those days. The way that I learned to manage my time out, which, by the way, I have that exact training that you can have, that you can take advantage of. All you have to do is press play and go through that workbook, and if you want to make more with less time. How many of you want to make more with less time? If you want to make more and have a much more fulfilling life, then you'll get a hold of what we call time secrets. That's what it is. It's right there. It's time secrets. That's the program that you need. You focus on that between now and Dynasty and your entire life is going to be completely different. You're going to reduce your stress. Your relationships are going to get better. Your production is going to increase. And why? You're actually not focused with all the hours that you're working. You're actually working from a place of weakness instead of a place of strength. When your body doesn't get rest and doesn't unplug from that thing that is driving you, it can't recharge. So most of you are working every week from empty instead of full. So Time Secrets will show you how to be full and work from the place of strength versus a place from weakness and always tired. How many of you find yourself empty? Often, yep. So when you're empty, is it easy to make decisions? Mm-mm. Do you make wise decisions? Mm-mm. You end up making emotional decisions, and you end up always dealing with drama and urgency. And drama and urgency is draining versus from a position of strength. So Time Secrets is really, really important for you. Okay? At creating a dynasty, you're also going to get a time to design your life. You guys are running so fast, you have no idea what you're working towards. And your target changes often. Yeah, the target changes often. So what ends up happening is you end up spinning your wheels through life. 10 years are going to go by and you're still in the same exact place that you were 10 years before. You don't even realize it's been 10 years. How many of you found this to be true? Right? 10 years, you're always accomplishing something, but at the end of the day, because your target is always changing and you haven't defined your life, you haven't defined what you want to do, you haven't lived it by design, you end up changing it all the time. So 10 years goes by and you're in the same exact boat, but more in debt, you're older with more health problems and poorer relationships, and your finances are exactly the same, except for more debt. How many of you found this one out? You've done this. You don't want to spin your wheels, man. You want to accomplish what you want to accomplish, but you have to come to a place where you stop for a moment to really decide, what do I want to do and what am I willing to put my life towards? When it's at the end of the twilight years of my life, what will I look back and say, I'm so glad I did X, Y, and Z. This is how I want to live my life, according to my rules, according to my vision, not somebody else's, because you guys are the easiest people in the room to manipulate. Want me to tell you what your manipulators are? Recognition and money. Recognition and money. Anyone can manipulate you with recognition and money. You got a price on your head. Somebody dangles more money or more recognition, boop, you quit what you're doing, you go over here for the more recognition and the more money. So roots don't get established because we're always looking for the new, better thing versus dig your heels in, get really good at it, master these skills, and you're going to fly. In the next class reunion, everyone's obliterated because you've risen up far higher than they have, and you did it without killing yourself and losing your family in 3 divorces and 5 bottles of pills because of so many health problems, right? I think if we were to do a health study, I think rubies have heart attacks because of stress. And cancer would be for the pearls. They carry bitterness because they don't confront issues. Because they hate confrontation, they have bitterness inside and resentment inside. And their studies have proven that bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment lead to cancer. Yeah. And stress leads to heart attacks. So there was a study personality-wise. It'd be an interesting study to see which disease people sign up for. Diabetes. Cirrhosis of the liver and diabetes. I don't know. I have to put some homicide. And then suicide. That's really funny. It'd be a very interesting study. I bet there is personalities tied to it, because definitely, who here has high blood pressure already? Okay, so that's stroke. Yeah, high blood pressure leads to stroke. Yeah. Anybody ever get chest pains? Wow. Isn't that crazy? Okay. Anyway, no, never mind. Never mind. Okay, so you have a crazy amount of strengths. You're the best people in the room. You're the best at everything. You're always winning. You're first. You're number one. You're on top. Like, all of that stuff is amazing. But the price that you choose to pay for it is not always wise. So wisdom would be something to go after. You know what I mean? And again, the main thing is this: spinning your wheels, ending up every decade at the same exact place, the same quality of relationships, the same quality, if not worse, in health, meaning it's the same or worse. Is as time goes on, it's the same or worse. So what ends up happening is you end up having nervous breakdowns or heart attacks or you burn out. How many of you have ever burned out before? Okay, now check this out. Watch this question. This is really powerful. The most confident people in the room, how many of you deal with depression? Isn't that crazy? The most confident people in the world battle with depression. Isn't that nuts? Why? Identity is wrapped in money, identity wrapped in success, identity in achievement, and you work too much, you work tired, you overcommit to too many things, can't do them all. Can't be number one in all of those things. And when you don't win, you're depressed. You hate losing with a passion. So what ends up happening is eventually you morph yourself into a pearl. You morph yourself into a pearl. You stop setting goals. You stop living. And you take an easy road, smoke a joint, have a bottle of wine, take a bubble bath. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on that one. Right? Just you can't handle making decisions at that point, right? You're just completely burnt out. And so you morph yourself into pearl, you stop setting goals, you stop achieving, and then you're not alive anymore. So all it is about balance. It's about balancing your goals. It's about defining what you really want to do instead of being manipulated by everybody, okay? So that concludes my portion on gems. Thank you so much for paying attention. So, thanks, friend. So on the question I love what you asked, how do I fix it? Okay, well, this is not an overnight fix, which a Ruby wants. Give me the pill that I take, right? Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And so you have to think about that. He just said, you saved my wife and my marriage. No, you guys have saved your marriage. You have saved it. And how? You made an investment into your personal development. You made an investment into growth. You made an investment into your future. That's how you saved your marriage. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. So he just said, this next dynasty will be our fifth event. So the other thing that you've done is you haven't stopped. You see, 98% are stopped. They think they went to one, they got it. Now, you didn't get squat. You just watched a movie. You just watched a movie for 3 days. That's all that you just did. You're still trying to figure out whether or not I know anything, whether or not what I'm saying is relevant to you. Not you, but I'm saying in general. So how do you fix it? You got to stay on this course and you can never get off of it. As soon as you stop growing is as soon as you start failing. As soon as you stop, you're going to fail. That's just all there is to it. And that goes for every single one of us. As soon as you stop being filled, and this is the biggest mistake Rubies make, especially, they have a little bit of success. They think they're done. They think they got it. And they don't need accountability anymore. They don't need to put themselves through something grueling like this anymore. They don't need it. I'm too busy doing other things. So then they don't get refreshed. So they end up living a continuous life of burnout until they die. And they usually die emotionally, mentally, and spiritually before they die physically. And that ain't no way to live. So the fullness, the best, the potential that is inside of them doesn't come out simply because they're too good or too busy to put themselves in scenarios like this. So you're on the right track, and that is what has saved your marriage. I didn't do squat other than show up and volunteer for 3 days and talk your ear off. You chose to listen. You chose to invest. You chose to take the next step. She chose to listen. She chose to invest. She chose to take the next step. That is what saved your marriage. You guys followed directions instead of fighting with each other. You chose that your marriage was a higher priority than anything else you guys were working on. And that has set the example. If there's children in the house, is there? No. So there maybe should be children in the house. Yes. So when there is children in the house, you have broken the generational chain of where you came from, of people living a hopeless reality, of living a life of mediocrity. You have chosen to go for something higher, 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 just as I have. That's what you've done. That's what all of you guys have the choice to do. So creating a dynasty, here's the bottom line. We have only a couple months left. We already have hundreds of people who have already registered for creating a dynasty. Let's say that that event is $5,000. It's taking place November 10th, 11th, and 12th. It is 3 solid days. I'm going to tell you, Ruby, something, because you guys are the ones mostly with businesses that you're actively building. The fact is that your income is tied to the success of other people. You largely have been focused on your own success. But if you switch your focus to being focused on the success of others, you will have long-lasting, much larger success. You have a team, whether you realize it or not. You have two teams. You have the family team and you have the business team. If both of these teams have been given the opportunity to learn the skills that we're talking about this weekend versus the Ruby that wants to go home and teach it, if you've given the the two teams opportunity to come and learn from themselves about themselves, learn how to motivate themselves, learn how to understand themselves, and learn how to understand you, for them to learn how together both teams can come together and grow the career, the business, because every child should know what their father and mother do for a living if the mother is working, and they should be about helping to promote what the father and mother do for a living. Because it is the family career. Are you hearing me? And if dad's primary job is making the money, then the whole family can come together and help him make that money and help his name be celebrated in the city gates. The whole family comes together to help the family get more referrals for whatever business or job it is that he has so that he has an awesome reputation out there in the marketplace. And the family builds relationships with the coworkers at that business. So that's the entire family that's making a difference for that brand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that whenever they see your children, they know what brand they represent. That's the Smiths or the Carrolls or the Johnsons, and this is what they do as a family. It always blows my mind when I encounter kids that have no idea what their parents do, which means there's a major disconnect with communication in the household. It also always blows my mind when I ask a wife what her husband does, and she's like, oh, you know, he works with computers. She doesn't care. She doesn't value the thing that he is blood, sweat, and tearing for every day to provide a living for his family. She doesn't care about what he does. It doesn't matter. So he does something with computers, which means she's certainly not sending referrals. She's certainly not keeping a lookout for whatever the needs are of the business. She's certainly not keeping a priority of keeping her husband's name being great in the marketplace. She's certainly not doing whatever she can to be able to help promote the brand that he's working for so that business helps to stay in business, so it helps to secure his job. She's too busy on Facebook. She's way too busy on Facebook. And same for him. That if she has a part-time side business, he's either threatened by it or jealous of it. And why? Because she's more excited about that than she is him. Wrong priorities. You want to have the hottest marriage in town. What does that mean? Does that mean you don't fight? No, you're still going to have things that you're not going to agree upon. But learn how to do it right. Learn to have disagreements and honor instead of putting down and pushing people away. And stop fighting in silence. You know what that means, ladies. Quit hugging the side of the bed. You know what that means, men. I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. That's manipulation. Start getting the courage and learn the words to communicate and to honor and to respect, to lift up, to edify, to build all the brands that the business family represents. Because the wife might have a business or she might have a job, the husband might have a business and a job. Let's work together to help the entire thing succeed. That's for the common vision of the family. Make sense? I don't know why I went there, but I went there. So creating a dynasty, let's say it's $5,000, okay? Let's say it is. I don't know how much you paid for college. How many of you went to college? How many of you spent more than $5,000 in college? Got another question for you. How much has it profited you? Here's what I know. That man over there couldn't pay his light bill. His parents had to subsidize his income for him and his 8 children. He now has businesses that are generating 7 figures, $1 million. In fact, where are you at on that? You're on track for who, what? 10 million this year. How many first steps in creating a dynasty have you been to? 60? What price are you willing to pay to have that kind of freedom, that kind of success, that kind of harmony with 8 children in the home? What price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay? How many years are you willing to do it? You have to ask yourself that question. That choice is yours. So it's $5,000. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to go to lunch, and I want you to start maybe implementing some of this gems thing. Go to lunch with 3 people you don't know and start to form them. Okay? Put into practice form. And start to discover what their gem is. Start to listen to see wow, what they're, as you ask them about them, what they like, what they dislike, you're going to start to see them telling you who they are. You're going to watch that, wow, I already possess a new skill that I just learned the last 2.5 hours. And I want you to think about this. What if I went creating a dynasty? What if I decided to go? It's going to be a party weekend. I'm going to learn how to help people better. I'm going to learn how to not be resentful and bitter towards people, but instead learn how, in a loving, restorative way, confront issues that need to be confronted. I'm going to learn how to raise up leadership in other people. I'm going to learn how to change the world one life at a time. And I'm going to learn how to stop being frustrated with people and stop condemning people and condemning myself and wanting to kill people. But instead, I'm going to learn how to get people motivated, moving towards a common goal. And it's going to take less of my time, and I'm going to reduce my stress tremendously. And I'm going to learn how to plan for the future, learn how to create wealth with several of the sessions that are wealth development. I don't care how old you are, you learning these skills of wealth development. We have a speaker that will be there that has created wealth, has done it without formalized education, showing you exactly how they have invested, how they manage money, all that stuff. Everything that you didn't get in school, you're going to get at creating a dynasty. And of course, I told you earlier, helping other people succeed, your income, listen to me, Rubies, and everybody else, your income will be directly tied to the amount of people you have at creating a dynasty with you. Your income will be tied to the amount of people you have at Dynasty with you. No one can go to Dynasty unless they're a First Steps graduate. No one can go. So tonight we will announce where the next First Steps success is. Not only should you be there, but you should be there with minimum of 5 people. If those 5 are family or those 5 are coworkers, these 2 groups of people, these 2 teams, if they're along with you, they're taking stress and pressure off of you. They're rising up in their own leadership. Now you'll be competing with your best versus people who are lesser than you. You'll be looking to shatter your own records versus somebody else's records that are smaller than yours. Does that make sense? So now your people start to rise up. Now collectively, the whole family is attacking debt. The business is attacking debt. Collectively, everyone is understanding referrals and edification and high-level leadership skills. As everyone learns how to do this, everyone's production increases. The amount of time people are working is less. The amount of happiness and joy and satisfaction massively increases. So how many of you would think it makes sense for you not only to be at Dynasty, but to have people there with you? Mm-hmm. Everything gets easier when you come with people. Gets harder if you don't. You're the only one that knows it, and you try to teach them that they don't respect you. They don't listen. So that's the reality, okay? All right, so creating a dynasty, if it was $5,000, go to lunch with 3 people that you don't know, and I want you to think about, what if I actually went? What if I don't? Think about both possibilities. Start to think about, if I'm going, I'm bringing people. Which people am I going to bring with me? Who am I going to target? Now, before we head to lunch, what I would like to do is I would like to invite Lorraine Allen, Krista Smith, and Justin Allen to go to the riser right here, this where Mona is. Go over here to this riser. We need you to meet us for lunch today. So that's Lorraine Allen, Justin Allen, and Krista Smith to come. You're going to come with lunch with me. We're going to have like the salad and our sandwich together or whatever. These were our top promoters in the room. We're going to have an hour and a half lunch for a break. So that means you're going to be back here at 1:55. Please don't be late. The last thing is that you've got lunch options. They're like $10 in the lobby. If you didn't end up packing a lunch, and pizza's like for $14. They have sandwiches, salad and sandwiches for $10. Think about it. Go to lunch with 3 people. Again, I'm not asking you to make a commitment, but I'm asking you to think, what if I did go? What if I don't? Answer those questions and form each other. We need to put the chairs back. Thank you so much. Can we please put all the chairs back before you leave the room? And then you're going to be back here at 1:55. See you then.